This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
It's Friday, you bastard.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Thank God it's
ball.
Throws one in the dirt. Bruno's going to go. Throw to third into the outfield. Now he's coming in, and we are tied. A delayed steal by Gregory Bruno. And just like that, it's 2-2. And a slow roller. Calabrese now comes home. Out is made. He scores. And now it's 4-2 New York. Soon to be the pitcher. Rifles one into right center. And Martinez is off and running. And he's going to score easily from first base. Great job of hitting by Mendez. And he tacks on the fifth run of the game with a double. On the ground to second. That is Bruno. That's the game. They rally from behind as Staten Island, New York, the Middle Island Little Leaguers. They stay unbeaten on the season. They stay unbeaten for the last two seasons.
Quite a run for these kids. They improved to 16-0, and they'll move on to play the team from Texas coming up on Sunday morning. So once again, congratulations to our kids from Staten Island. If you missed it yesterday, Bernie and I had the chance to talk to the skipper, Joe Calabrese, and his big-time pitcher, Gregory Bruno, who did struggle early yesterday. In fact, he walked two consecutive batters walked in a run.
Didn't he not pitch yesterday?
He came in relief.
I didn't watch it.
For the first time, they actually trailed. They had never trailed in those 16 games.
Yes.
They were down in the ball game. Bruno walked in a run, but then he struck out the next two batters, pitched another couple of innings, and he was terrific, and they went on to win the game. And we coupled that, by the way, with, of course, that golden voice who we lost yesterday at the age of 76 years old. God rest her soul. One of the all-time greats, Aretha Franklin. She's gone, but
rest in peace.
Yeah.
She was the queen of soul.
She was all of that, but nobody on this show was all that broken up yesterday. I'm not gonna lie. Jill's like, I think Whitney Houston was better. I'm like, well, can't you let her rest for one day before you start comparing her to...
Let's just give her her one day.
Right.
She was a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, the first woman. Sweeter Than Honey.
It's a good song.
That's right.
It's not Born to Run, but it's fine.
Well, this is good. Natural Woman.
Oh, that's a great song.
It is. And Think.
Think is a wonderful song, sure.
Let's see.
The Apollo Theater paying tribute to the Queen of Soul today. But listen, let's be completely honest. This is not really our music. It's the generation before us.
It is.
Like, if Imus was still on today, he'd be crying. And that would work for for that 92-year-old lady who's our number one fan in Astoria.
Yes. What?
No.
I heard, Meany said something in the intercom.
Oh, he did?
Aunt Maggie is
alive
and well.
All right.
But she was also, her contemporary was Diana Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Who,
much better.
I don't know if you compare the two.
Well, Diana Ross, for me, I enjoyed her music more.
Certainly way more, certainly more prolific.
Commercial, yes.
Prolific, and the songs were just... Well, they were great.
Well, she had all those great hits with the Supremes, and then Diana had mega hits by herself. Mega.
Started My Life. And one down, head tenement slum. Whatever. Anyway, she was great.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
That's another one.
Now, that's nothing beats that. Nothing.
But this is Aretha's day.
Oh, it's not. Jill said Whitney Houston was better.
Whitney Houston, but Whitney Houston is a product of Aretha Franklin.
Well, you can say that, but Jill doesn't care.
No, she's cold.
Jill, you were like, whatever. Whitney was better.
No, you got to give credit to her. She's the queen of soul, but I didn't never listen to her.
You weren't exactly broken up this morning.
But who cares? Again,
What
did he say?
She really only had three hit songs, I believe.
But she had great pipes.
She had, as I mentioned before, Natural Woman, Respect, and Think.
Yeah.
And beyond that, can anybody name another hit?
It's quite a eulogy we put together this morning, guys.
Rock Steady, baby.
Oh,
That's a great one.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. And she actually wrote that as well.
That's right. So she had four hits.
And she was voted by Rolling Stone magazine in 2010 as the best singer ever.
Right. That's ridiculous. But anyway, God rest her soul.
And there he is.
I tell you, it's a beautiful little piece you put together here, Byrne.
That's how I do. I pay tribute to the greats. No, she was cool. She was a nice lady.
She was great. And can't argue that she was a pioneer. And she, besides the fact she was a tremendous talent, she meant more than just music.
And ironically, she was from Detroit, but was not signed with Motown.
No, Barry Gordy didn't like her.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well,
but something went awry. She wasn't part of Motown.
Well, what happened, Jill? Why didn't Motown sign Aretha? What are you hearing?
Yeah.
Probably she didn't have a pen. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about it.
Have a pen.
She, I don't
never know. Never go for Rita.
She had a falling out or something. But her dad, too.
Yeah.
Her dad.
Oh, the great Joe Franklin.
Joe Franklin was he was a pastor. And he was the victim of a home invasion. He got shot.
He didn't die, though. He didn't
spent
die.
The final 6 years of his life in a coma.
That's right. Didn't die.
Yeah, a little tragedy. So from that pain came this great music.
Well, you know, Jennifer Hudson, her mother and her relatives were gunned down dead in Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's got a great voice, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, much better than Aretha Franklin.
Well, she would, they would say that...
she's a product, right?
The queen of soul.
Sure. So.
Paved the way.
Right. So anybody who's black and talented owes Aretha Franklin their careers, basically. Which I'm fine with that.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And should pay royalties to
her estate.
To her heirs.
Well, does she die with any money? She has to have a ton of money, no?
Of course.
So who gets that money?
Well, not me. I don't know. What am I?
Her kids, I'm sure.
What am I? Like her estate executor, for God's sakes?
By the way, when I said that Joe Franklin was her father, and of course that's ridiculous, but Jill, do you know who Joe Franklin, when I made that reference, who that is?
Yeah, he was the guy from New York. He had all those newspapers.
Newspapers.
Joe Franklin, wasn't he? He had a TV show here.
Yeah, yes. You know, she knows him from...
Frank Morano.
Frank Morano.
Yeah.
Frank Morano used to make a big deal about going on his show.
Frank used to go on his show?
At the very, very end
of Joe's life.
Of his life,
I met Joe. He was...
Yeah, he was a cool guy.
Character, yeah.
What was Frank... Why was Frank Morano even invited on that show?
They were very good friends.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, very good friends.
At that time, Joe Franklin was like Merv Griffin and Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Well, towards the very, very end, he had jumped the shark.
Joe Franklin?
Yeah,
Frank Morano.
It was like, who's the other guy, the sports guy who was on WFAN early? Bill Mazur.
Oh, the great Bill Mazur.
You know, he
sure.
was great, and then at some point.
Yeah. Well, Bill Mazur owes his career to Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, damn right.
I think we all do.
Did you cry?
Cultural appropriation.
Did you cry when Whitney died? Because I did.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
By the way, I cried when her daughter Christina died.
Aww.
That's how much I loved that scumbag Bobby Brown, that piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I used to love him, too.
It's my prerogative.
Liked him even more with new edition.
What's that word mean?
Prerogative.
Yeah. I know. To this day, I'm still surprised he used that in the title of a song.
That was cool, though. That's one way to educate people.
You know, he's actually a very smart... He was a smart kid. When I went to Red Rooster in Harlem on Friday night with Danielle, there's a picture. It must have been an old album cover of Bobby Brown in a really nice suit with a hanky... And I'm telling you, it had to be before he started really getting serious into the drugs and Whitney and all that, because he looked great. It was dapper and clean. And then I saw him years later at a Miami Heat basketball game. He spent a lot of time in Miami. He was wearing like green sneakers, a Heat t-shirt. He was so whacked out on drugs.
He turned into a total skill.
Oh, my God.
He did not treat Whitney right.
No.
So I hate him.
Is Whitney a favorite of all time?
She's definitely up there.
You think she's the greatest female singer of all time?
Yes, I do.
Better than Barbra Streisand?
Oh,
Oof, that's
you're nuts.
Tough.
Get
no,
out of here.
No, no.
Better than what's her name?
I'll say it. Barbara's yeah, she was better than
I don't think so.
Barbara's number one.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you agree with... Okay, good.
Then Whitney.
I got nervous. And now, then, what about what's her name? They made the movie Bernie... I think it was Diana Ross in the movie? The great singer.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Billie Holiday.
Billie yes. Joe Holiday.
Yes. What do you put Billie Holiday?
I never heard
her. Oh, that's great. Okay.
Is it Billie Joe?
What about Mariah Carey? Is she a big time?
She is.
You know what's funny about Mariah Carey, Bernie?
By the way, let me just say that you said if you're black and you're a good singer, she also paved the way for people like Christina Aguilera.
Well,
who
really?
Was white.
Yes. I know, but did she?
Yeah.
Okay. Because she's a wonderful singer, too, by the way.
I really don't know.
That's not true.
I read that, but that's why I repeated it.
I just mentioned Mariah Carey. Now, for folks that don't know, the Yankees are struggling. You know that. They've lost two straight to Tampa Bay. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know that.
They're going to win the wild card. They're going to play the Oakland yeah. A's in the Bronx, and that's it. But they're going to celebrate this weekend the New York Yankee team, the 1998 team, one of the four teams that won World Series under Joe Torre. But this was the best one. They won like 125 games. They were a record-setting baseball team, and eventually they beat Jim Leyritz and the San Diego Padres to win the World Series.
Mm-hmm. El Duque.
El Duque on that team, very good. Darryl Strawberry announced that year he had colon cancer. He did come up big anyway in the World Series. Chili Davis filling in. But Mariah Carey, I just mentioned, in the beginning of that season, 1998, that magical Yankee season, Mariah was dating Derek Jeter. And by the way, went to a bunch of Yankee games dressed in a Jeter jersey. And he dumped her in June of that summer.
She got a care package.
Yeah, that's nasty, bro.
She got a baseball and...
His throat started to hurt a little bit.
Bye-bye! Is Mariah Carey a top five singer for you, Jill?
For me, no.
No, no. So who are your top three? Give me a three in order.
I would say... Okay. Barbara Streisand.
Right.
Whitney Houston.
Right.
And Adele.
Adele!
I love Adele.
What are your thoughts on that, B?
Again, this is what I read. Adele falls under that category.
Well, fast
I swear to God. That she, like Rolling in the Deep, is they say it's got Aretha printed all over it.
Well, it does. That's, you know, that song specifically.
See, I know what I'm talking about.
Not really. Where'd you read all this stuff? What are you
I
reading?
I don't know.
He knows everything.
What do I know?
Ebony? What the hell are you reading?
I just made it up.
Yeah.
It sounds good, though,
yeah.
Right?
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I guarantee you that Boomer and Geo didn't just do that. Now, did they? We'll come right back on the Bernie and Sid Show right after these messages.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, we talked about it yesterday. Just wanted to remind you that Donald Trump will be in town. He's flying to an airport in West Hampton today. So if you're heading out to the Hamptons for the weekend, expect big-time gridlock. Airspace will be restricted from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. today. And the president will be driven to a fundraiser in Southampton. That's where he hopes to raise $3 million for his campaign. And by the way, for $24.5 million only... You can own the apartment below Donald Trump's opulent living quarters, right at Trump Towers, 721 Fifth Avenue. Now, the apartment that is for sale is apartment 6465 AB, and it adjoins the Trumps. Real estate sources even believe Trump's bedroom. Woo. So it's a condo building. The condo board, they could do things like require FBI checks, extra paperwork, and that type of thing in case you want to own it. The Trumps live on floors 66 to 68. So just $24.5 million bucks if you want to live near the Trumps. And I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Extra, extra. I'm in love. I gotta thank my lucky star.
Barbara Streisand's main event. That's how we pay tribute to Aretha Franklin today. We Wait. Play the songs of singers we think are better.
That's not cool.
What? It's a lovely thing.
At least make it Diana Ross. Something in the genre.
Barbara Streisand is the genre and the greatest female singer of all time. Not Diana Ross. But I do like Diana Ross more than Aretha Franklin.
This is the genre?
Well, yeah. This is a little upbeat, obviously, more than Aretha.
It ain't gospel soul.
No, but Barbara can do that.
Okay.
Barbara can do anything.
She can.
Well, let me go on the record to say that I am outraged.
By what?
By this disrespect being shown towards Aretha Franklin.
Wait a second. Were you not just the guy who said to me, in today's New York Post, pages 2 through 9, they've got 8 pages, and you're like, what?
That was off the record.
Oh, that was off the air. You're right.
Yeah. And so, therefore, I deny it.
Okay. You can do that.
The first 8 pages in the New York Post.
That's, wow. What did I say to you? What are they going to do when Bruce Springsteen dies?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Aretha Franklin.
Hey, oh, what are you, nuts?
He may have cried. That's Mike's generation.
She was, she was very influential. She was huge.
Very big.
And a lot of people, look, we have to give her due. You have to.
No. Listen, the phone lines are lighting up with people that are destroyed today. Can't get through the weekend. Let's see. Go to line one. Let's see. Who's on line one?
Hey, do you know that respect was originally written for a man about a man saying, give me some respect to his wife?
No.
Well, you now know.
Okay.
If you don't know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
What did you, like, look up 10 most interesting Aretha Franklin facts?
Ninja.
Stay woke.
No, these are things that I happen to know from, you know, way back.
Ah, yeah.
Just useless trivia.
Right. Okay.
I mean, maybe it was a response to James Brown. This is a man's world.
Well, he's also part of that same genre.
Yeah, but
same era, same. He was great too, by the
Who
way.
Who else is part? Like, so Diana Ross, Aretha, like Etta James, I guess?
Etta James.
She was a little earlier.
A little earlier, yeah. She was great, though. Yeah.
LeBron's mom.
Yeah, that's right.
That's LeBron's his mom?
That's right.
James.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No, it's not his mom.
He's got royalty in his blood. That's why they call him King James.
No, Billie Holiday was part of that, too. All seriousness, I guess.
Yeah, that's what Madonna's song was, a tribute to her.
Which one?
Holiday.
Wasn't?
Celebrate.
What are you talking about?
You don't know these things?
You know, we made more mistakes.
No, that's not a mistake.
It's a lie.
Fake news.
Well, it might be a lie, but it's not a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Fake news. Oh, fake news.
And, you know, talking about that, President Trump got in trouble yesterday again.
Fake news.
He can't stay out of his own way.
What happened now?
Well, I guess he said that at some point she worked for him or one of his
consumers. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And it was a lie.
Fake news.
Like, why? President Trump. Why? Just stick to the good things. Economy, North Korea, Iran. Stop with the rest of this stuff because you either lie or they deem you a liar. Stay out of it.
Why are you yelling?
Because I get so frustrated.
This is a very, very festive Friday.
No, we're talking about somebody dead. What's festive? This is Baruch Hashem.
The lady lived a full life.
No, she didn't.
Look, we talked about the people in Colorado.
Right.
The guy murdered his wife and daughter.
That's terrible.
Under Miley Cyrus thing in Party in the USA yesterday, as we closed the show.
Why did we do that?
What? All I'm saying is, look, things happen.
I know.
You know, people are dying every day.
No, she was 76. You're right. She wasn't a little girl.
It was pancreatic cancer. It was very sad.
She was sick for a couple years.
What are you yelling about?
Well, I'm yelling about Trump, not her.
I know, but
I get frustrated because every time I really try to get to to your level, it's just impossible. It's impossible.
Look, I don't know anything about this, so I can't comment.
Whose death was the saddest for people in the country? Like Elvis or John Lennon? Like whose
Lennon.
Death? John Lennon?
100%.
So that went on for
Elvis weeks. Died in 77, yeah. I remember.
Elvis, again, he died on the bowl.
On the bowl.
So, how can you have sympathy for a guy like that?
I remember being upstate at a bungalow colony. It was August. I was 10 years old. Listen, I got to tell you, I saw more men. Now, it's not men and women. Obviously, Elvis was bigger than this guy, much bigger. But I saw more men cry in the late 1970s at a bungalow colony upstate when Thurman Munson died than Elvis Presley. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, women loved him too. But for me, you know, to this day, they still drop off flowers and tons of them in Strawberry Fields in Central Park.
And he was gunned down.
And they just recently, 2 or 3 days ago, told Mark David Chapman, you're not getting out of here. Oh, no. The fans wrote some long petition
right.
to make sure the board doesn't let this guy get out. So to me, it's more like, but you would know better, Bernie, you're a little older. Lennon or Presley? What are the country more and more for?
I would say probably Lennon,
yeah.
as I recall. It was more closer, again, to my time, the Beatles. And yeah, I would say Lennon. And again, it was with Presley, it was an OD. And again, on the bowl.
Right,
and
Lennon got killed tragically.
One of those things where, I've always said about opioids, you can't go to the bathroom. So he was sitting on a bowl there, all 300 pounds, and he's trying to squeeze one out.
Yeah.
And he died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't squeeze too much.
Oh, well, the bless of my soul, I'm on a toilet bowl. I can't get nothing out of my blank hole.
Oh, my God.
I'm in love. I'm all stuffed up. Oh, hoo, hoo. Hey! Oh, hey! And then he went out.
He died. Yeah.
No, Lennon was much more tragic. And of course, the way we found out about John Lennon, it's hilarious that Imus used to try to take credit for this. I got news for you, Imus. The world found out from Howard Cosell
on
Monday Night Football during a Patriot Dolphin game, which I was watching when he said tragedy has struck outside of the Dakota in New York's. John Lennon has been shot dead.
Wait
on arrival.
Did you say Imus tried to take credit for reporting the news?
He claims that the Tuesday morning, because it happened Monday night, that it was late at night, it was during a Monday night football game, like 9 o'clock at night. He claims more people found out from him that next morning, Tuesday morning, about John Lennon's death than Howard Cosell the night it happened during Monday night football.
Well, first of all, I can't even believe he would say that, because I remember that night, I was in college. And I was in a car, leaving a late class or something. And everybody knew that Lennon had gotten shot.
Yeah.
So, that he would say that is just...
It's predictable.
I know I was here, but I don't recall it.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
But if it happened, I don't know, Sid, what...
I'm making up stuff. I love Imus. I'm not going to make up stuff to make him look bad. But yes, he did. Because I played it this year, the anniversary, I played the clip. Because Imus was still on the air. And he's like, well, a lot of people found out for me. You know what's funny about that is a lot of people found out for me. Well, where is it now? You got that? Let's hear that. This is a Stern. Howard Cosell, not Howard Stern.
Howard Cosell.
Monday Night Football, the tragedy that was John Lennon.
And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival.
Shot twice in the back. Yeah.
And again, most people, maybe Joe Salameno may know this, but most people don't know that I believe the Dolphins were playing the Patriots on that game.
And he, of course, there was no emotion in his. He said that like he was calling a play.
Well, the backdrop to that was they became aware of it in the booth. Don Meredith, Howard Cosell, and Gifford. And he wanted to announce it even before. And believe it or not, Bernie, there was a back and forth with the guys in the booth and the guys in the truck. I guess maybe Ruin Arledge, the guys in charge, Don Ohlmeyer, I don't know. But eventually Cosell convinced the guys in the truck, because they're like, wait a second, this is a football game. It's not a news show. They don't want to lose viewers who are going to go try to catch the news.
So they told him to just go ahead.
They're
and
like, don't say it.
Do Cosell.
And then he was like, I'm going to do it. And like a news story, he did it.
Apparently, Lennon couldn't outrun the bullets. So he is dead. Now let's get back to the game.
Back on Bernie and Sid right after this.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
800-848-WABC. Talk with Bernie and Sid in the morning right now. 800-848-9222. Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Yes, our tribute to Aretha Franklin continues with some John Lennon. Nobody doesn't like us. Some jerk off on Twitter, who, by the way, named himself Imus. That's pretty pathetic. He's like, oh! And he tweets right to where my Imus at. Not only is Sid taking jabs at you, now he's lying about you. Hey, dickface, whoever you are, tell me what Imus said to me when me and Gunzelman played that clip this year on the anniversary of Lennon's death, I miss his exact quote was, you know, it's kind of funny. The next morning, I've told more people about that death. He actually took credit for it. So maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe you spend the rest of your life defending and loving. I miss, I don't know who you are or what you're doing. You're pathetic, by the way. But don't tell me what I miss said. Now, Joe Salamino, to my point, says, a big-time Twitter follower and fan of the show, he says that he found out from Imus that Tuesday morning. He was in Ohio in school. So Joe Salamino proving Imus's point that a ton of people found out from him Tuesday morning because it happened about 8, 9 p.m. Well, the night before.
See, that's I double-checked that because that's what you said to me. Now, I remember myself. Again, I was in college, and I remember being in a car at about 8:30 at night,
right.
And we all knew about it. Everybody was down, and everybody was like, wow, he can't believe he got shot. But he got shot at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
True, but...
So if he got shot at 5 in the afternoon, I know the news didn't break till a little bit later.
Much later, and again, I'm telling you for a fact, most people found out from watching Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. That game did not start, the Dolphins and Patriots, until 8:30. I don't know what time they pronounced John Lennon dead, but it had to be around 9 p.m. Eastern time when Howard Cosell told the country that Lennon was dead. I don't think most people knew about it from 10-10 wins at 6:30 that night. I don't think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I did.
So you were listening to 10-10 wins?
I knew from school, from before I got that ride home from school. I remember it clearly.
Wow. No, I didn't. I found out from Howard. Cosell, not Stern, of course.
Yeah. This is a tragedy of tremendous importance.
Who was the broadcaster who announced JFK's death?
Mario Lopez?
Yes.
No.
Walter Cronkite.
Ryan Seacrest.
And they say I'm a dreamer.
You know, talking about Imus, I watched Forrest Gump for the 100th time again this week. Do you remember in the movie? It's so funny. Tom Hanks ends up on the Dick Cavett show.
Yes.
With John Lennon.
Yeah.
And he's talking
showing
to
his butt.
Forrest Gump.
No, but he goes, just imagine. And the whole conversation between Gump and Lennon
in
the movie back and forth.
It inspired Lennon to write the song.
Yes, yes.
That's
on
funny.
Dick Cavett, who of course is a... was and still is an Imus favorite. He's still alive, right?
Oh yeah, we can get him on. We can get him on today if you wanted.
Not really. No.
No, we could.
Okay. What time?
He could talk about Aretha.
That's true. He probably had. She was probably on his show.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Oh yeah.
The Dick Cavett show.
No, he's still kicking.
Dick.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't like us.
You like Dick?
I love Dick.
He doesn't really like you because you like Donald Trump, but he hates Donald Trump.
Had to get that out of the way. No, he's a Facebook friend of mine.
But he really hates the president.
That's
right?
True. But he and I is we overcome stuff like that.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Because we're tight.
How are you tight? I haven't spoken to him since Imus.
No, I speak to him a lot.
Oh, you do,
especially on Facebook. Yeah. No, we're very close. We go way back to when he was seriously when he was a host at CNBC.
We have a guest on.
And I've interviewed him myself many times by myself.
I know, but he was on with us a couple of months ago, and he seemed irked by the conversation. That was my recollection.
With you and me?
Yeah. Because we were defending.
Yeah, he was cool. We talked afterwards, and he enjoyed the hell out of it.
Nah, that's not what I felt.
Well, I'm telling you what he said.
Well, let's ask Joe Salamino. He seems to know everything about... Hey, anyway, listen, we got a very special lady on the line. Her name is Carol Klein, and her family, they have an organization. This is something near and dear to Bernie and me. They honor and support the homeless veterans. They live in a facility at the Northport VA in Long Island, on Long Island, I should say. And they bring them entertainment and programs. They take them out for a night of fun. So they're helping our homeless vets. You can go to the website, mismatchtheclown.com. Click the Our Heroes Night Out page and find out more. So she's doing stuff for the people we hold near and dear, and here she is, Carol Klein. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. This is really a great honor and privilege to be here.
No, let me ask you this.
It's our pleasure.
Yes. Though, Carol. Big Aretha Franklin fan?
Yes, I did like her music. I mean, I'm really, truthfully, I like music, but I don't really go into, like, who I like and who I don't like.
You
don't
do that. Why not? You keep it close to the vest? Yeah. You're one of those people?
Yeah, no, I just, you know, growing up, I really was, like, a more of a Ricky Nelson Monkees fan.
And, oh, sure.
You
know. Yeah. So do you think... Herman's?
I love her music, and I loved her
right.
music.
So do you think it's disrespectful the day after she died that Bernie says Diana Ross is better?
No.
I didn't really say that. Yeah. I didn't really say that, but...
That's a personal thing, really.
It's worth pondering.
It's all personal.
Well, we'll wait a few days, and then we'll ponder it. But no, right this morning, this is Aretha's day.
Right.
And how did you find out about John Lennon? Was it Howard Cosell or Don Imus?
Can't hurry judgment.
I really don't remember, to wait. To tell you the truth.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing that he got shot, and I was like, who would do something like that to a great man?
Right. So. Right. Well, listen, Carol, let's talk about the charity and the organization, Mismatch the Clown, Our Heroes Night Out.
Yes.
This is all run based out of the Northport, VA,
yes.
out on Long Island, Northport, New York. Tell us about it.
Well, basically, it's just, like you said, it's a family organization. We put it together after meeting some of the guys at the Northport, VA. It just kind of came by accident when I was actually invited to entertain some of the veterans and their families as an entertainer, and that's why it's hooked up to our entertainment company, because if it wasn't for our company, you know, like, I wouldn't have met these guys and done what we've been doing, you know, for the last 9 years. So basically what it was is, you know, like, I just kind of met them. I showed them how to do some balloons and some magic and everything, and some of the guys really liked learning that. So my son and I went there one night, and we went and taught them how to make balloons. And the next day, the manager at the homeless facility, you know, called me up, and she was like, I can't believe how much these guys loved what you did for them. And I was like, really? You know, like, it was just balloons.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, all right, well, if they like that, let's see what else we could do for them.
How many guys would you say are there, Carol?
Well, right now, I mean, actually, we're not at the homeless facility anymore because, unfortunately, that building was condemned. So that was, like, last year. So now we're at the treatment facility, the substance abuse facility.
Sure. Right. In Northport?
Yes, it's at the Northport VA.
Right.
After they closed that place, I didn't know where we were going to go. And then I remembered some of the guys telling us that they went to the treatment facility after the homeless facility, you know, because they needed more, you know, more help, you know, in getting, you know, their addictions in check.
So how, moving forward here, how can Bernie and I help you? What exactly are you looking to do? Are you planning another night out, Carol? And how can we help you? What could we do?
Well, basically, I just need people to come and, you know, share their time and their talents with the guys. You know, like, you know, if you like to cook, you could, you know, do a cooking demonstration for the guys. You could come and, you know, sponsor an event for them and have a, you know, and bring dinner to them, because unfortunately the food that, you know, they get there isn't the greatest. You know, so I have people who once in a while bring, you know, a nice dinner to them or just cook for them. If you, you know, like to talk sports, you can come and talk sports to the guys. I have people who came and did a paint night for them and they just sat and painted.
That's all very nice. You're also in need of some toiletries, clothes, snack foods. And then, so tell us, by the way, how can people get in touch? Just tell us that, and perhaps donate some of this stuff that you're requesting.
Okay, well, the toiletries, they don't really need as much. We bring clothes to them once in a while. You know, so good used clothes, we could use that for them. Some toiletries, yes, you know, because they do come in and, you know, like, they run out of their thing, you know, stuff. Snacks they get an abundance of, you know, sometimes... It's it should be more healthier snacks, because every time we go there, it's all like sugary donuts and junk, you know. So every once in a while, we bring, like, you know, fruits for them and everything, and pizza once in a while. Basically, it's just, we're open to anything that anybody wants to help us with, to tell you the truth.
So people go to mismatchtheclown.com.
Right, or they could call my home number, which is on my website, but it's 516-579-6524.
Well, listen, it's a great work you're doing, Carol. You're
Damn
a
right.
sweetheart, sweet lady, and you
thank
and your
you.
Son and your family. Thank you so much helping the vets and taking your time to make things better for them.
Well,
so on behalf of all of America, we thank you very much, Carol. Terrific job. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Carol, by the way, that was inspired by a segment that we did last Monday with Leslie Slender. She was listening to Leslie talking about some upcoming events. And anyway, she called in and said, hey, well, I've got some stuff going on as well. Good job by Leslie.
Very sweet.
And next thing you know, she's on our show. We'll take a short break, 7 a.m. hour, right after these words.
This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Tribute to Aretha Franklin continues as only Bernie and Sid can do. We're playing everybody else's songs, but we're attributing all their success to Aretha.
Yes, she broke the ceiling.
That's it. So Diana Ross here, this great song with the Supremes, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. So I was right, by the way. He was shot late at night.
10:50 to be
right.
Exact. Yeah.
So that's why I'm as content, because most people are asleep by 10 o'clock at night. They went to bed, unless you were watching Monday Night Football like me, Dolphins, Patriots, and I think ABC wanted to break in with, like, Peter Jennings. And Cosell was like, no, I'm a news guy. Let me tell the country.
And he had interviewed John Lennon in 1974 on Monday Night Football.
Right. So you didn't find out hours before in a car on the news and all that. That didn't happen.
Who,
but listen,
me?
You weren't drunk back then.
You know what it might have been?
What?
It might have been the night they shot Ronald Reagan.
Oh, that was a daytime. He got shot in the daytime.
Right, but it might have been that night that I was driving home.
And, oh, hours later. Okay.
I might have been conflating the. You know, we did a lot of drugs in college. I mean, give me a break.
No, but that's why, if you think about it, when Ima says, is it nuts? Because 11 o'clock at night, most people are asleep.
Of course.
So they found out from him the next morning.
Perfect sense.
Right. It's not true. It's still Cosell, but.
Well, if you were watching the game. But
right.
If you were, you had an early wake-up call.
Right. But
you didn't give a rat's ass about football.
The ratings back then were immense for Monday Night Football.
Play that Cosell call again, would
all
you?
All right, sure.
Just for laughs.
All right. For laughs?
Well, you know, for reminiscence, nostalgia.
Okay.
And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
There you have it, Howard Cosell, and that was that, so.
And now back to you.
Right.
Well, he was, that was a big deal.
I don't even.
He wanted the spotlight,
he
obviously.
He wanted it.
They could have broke in with a news anchor.
Well, I'm telling you, there was a back and forth in the booth. And I think they sat on it for like a half hour before they finally allowed Howard to tell it. The guys were like, this is a news story. It's a football game. Howard was like in the booth. He was adamant. He's like, well, let me tell the story.
I got this.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take Peter Jennings and all his stupid good looks. I got this here. This is easy. And he's right. I mean, forget all the formalities.
Ah, listen. It's funny. We're going to talk to Russ Salzburg in about 15 minutes. Sam Darnold, not nearly as impressive. He got the start with the Jets last night.
Yeah, not good at all.
He didn't start against Atlanta. Teddy Bridgewater did. He was great. He wasn't great last night. Teddy was, by the way. Teddy's been a better quarterback.
Teddy was damn good, but yeah. this was Darnold's first outing against a starting defense.
Right, and he struggled. He did move the football team. He got inside the red zone. He wasn't able to score a touchdown. He got
longest pass was 13 yards.
That was it. He got a pass tipped, which resulted in an interception. He wasn't nearly as impressive against the starting Redskin defense as he was against the Falcons backups last Friday. So,
but it's only one game. Come on.
Well, I think that not only is it only one game, but I think the decision's been made. I think he's going to start Week 1 against the Lions.
I think so.
Unless he gets hurt, God forbid, or he's so bad in the next two preseason games. I think Teddy Bridgewater has proven he can play. He's going to be dealt. I think Josh McCown knows he's the veteran backup. So unless something really outrageous happens, even though he was not very impressive last night, he wasn't bad enough, Bernie, to where he's not going to get the start.
Right. The interception was actually tipped.
Right.
So keep that in mind. And look, it was his first outing again against a real defense. So give him a break. He'll start. But Bridgewater will be there, just ready to jump into.
No, he won't be there week one. They'll trade him. And he
will.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't played in 2 years. Coming out of college, coming out of Louisville, he was great. Early with the Minnesota Vikings, he was great. Had the knee injury, missed basically 2 years. We weren't sure if he'd ever play again. He has proven himself these last 2 weeks to be a guy who can play. Look, he wanted to get hit last night. He actually talked about it in today's New York Post. He savored getting hit.
Right.
Because he wants to prove to people.
Right.
So he'll be dealt before the start of the season, Teddy, I would think, and will start someplace else.
Why?
Because you can get something for him at this point, and you're not going to have three quarterbacks of that caliber on the same roster. They actually brought him in here, Bernard, with that in mind. That Donald, they draft him, he would start.
Uh-huh.
And Bridgewater would kind of showcase what he can do, and they can make a trade. And I think the way it's going, by the way, after two preseason games, that is unfolding perfectly for the Jets. But my point was, last night's game, played on a Thursday night, was exclusive to ESPN. And it was Monday Night Football. They came in with the music, Monday Night Football, even though it was a Thursday night.
It was Channel 7.
It was ESPN only, Channel 300 on my...
I saw it on Channel
7. Oh, it was on ABC.
Yeah,
okay,
but ABC owns the ESPN.
Right, okay. Can you even tell me who the Monday night booth is?
No, a couple of nobodies. A couple of no names.
Jason Witten from the Cowboys, is he in there?
Yes.
No idea.
Yes, it's him, the Booger McFarland guy, the sideline reporter, Joe Tessor.
You got to get some names in there, bro.
God.
It stinks.
I mean, look,
at least the Salters.
Osias and Dierdorf were terrible, but at least there were big names and they fought. You know, forget about Gifford and Cosell and Dandy Don and Fran Tarkenton and O.J. Simpson and Al Michaels and the host of huge names that did this thing.
Put Gary Cohn and Keith Hernandez in there.
Seriously.
For Monday Night Football,
Let's think out of the box here.
That's not a bad idea.
Anything, but give us somebody colorful, somebody we could enjoy, especially with a preseason game, which is not quite all that flashy, nothing much on the line.
No, not really, you're right. Giants-Lions tonight, I don't think we'll see Saquon Barkley, or Odell Beckham, for that matter.
How about this this guy who plays for the Jets, Isaiah Crowell?
I knew you were going to bring him up.
I only found out about it. Did you know about this?
I knew about that picture, yeah. I knew about it when he was with the Cleveland Browns. Pretty good running back, by the way.
You had this Blue Lives Matter. They the New York Jets reached out to them to form some sort of partnership.
And just so you know, to put it in its context, Bernie, all the football teams around the NFL have been reaching out to the local police departments in an effort to fix the relationship. So, for example, down in Broward County in Florida, the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross and his crew reached out to the PBA in Broward County, offering them tickets, free tickets and stuff, and they turned it down. It was a big story. Fox News had it Monday. The local police in Broward County have distanced themselves from the Dolphins because Miami has players that kneel, and that makes the police sick. So the police basically said to the Dolphins, F you. Now the Jets, as you're about to tell us, they've got the same issue.
They do, but they just said they don't want to partner with the NFL in period, anybody, because of the toxic atmosphere. They'd rather give money to dead cops' families. And they had quite a quote. He says, the guy who runs Blue Lives Matter, he says, once again, I do appreciate the offer, but revenue we could have better be spent on the families of officers killed in the line of duty, protecting the ignorance of these individuals rather than contributing to their paycheck, is what he said. And then the Jets said, listen, we had nobody kneel. And they wrote back and they said, look, we heard what your owner said, but you also have a guy who depicted a grim reaper cutting the throat of a cop.
Yeah.
And it turns out his name is Isaiah Crowell.
He's the running back they got from the Cleveland Browns. He's the Jet feature running back this year, him and Bully O'Powell. And, yes, the picture is kind of like what you would have seen from Jihadi John with James Foley or Stephen Sotloff. Instead, it's they're doing it to a cop. It's really... It's every bit as bad, if not worse, than that redheaded skank. What is her name? The comedian?
Kathy Griffin.
I believe this is even worse.
And then it was only days later that five cops were killed in Dallas by the sniper.
Yeah.
And this is who we have on the Jets.
I know.
I didn't know that. I just found that out overnight.
Yeah, yesterday it was a big story in the Post. And I decided not to bring it up because we're trying to remain excited and happy about the NFL. And we're getting through preseason week number two. We got the Jets and Giants coming up next weekend. Only a couple of weeks away from Giants, Jaguars, Jets, and Lions. You want to be excited. And then you see that story and you see that picture. And it really is disgusting.
Just to let you know that we're aware, but we're still into the Jets, into sports.
No, and we're aware and we're disgusted by a lot of these players.
Right.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I am rooting like heck for the Giants, but I can tell you 54, Olivier Vernon, I think he's a scumbag. But I'm still going to root for the Giants because as Ian Eagle told me many, many years ago, not to temper my enthusiasm, don't root for the individuals. You're going to find yourself more than often disappointed. Just root for the laundry. So I want the Giants to win, but they've got guys on that team
I don't like
very much.
Not good.
Right.
And about OBJ, when's he going to sign? We'll talk to Russ Salzburg.
Got all that coming up, but after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, this morning, Forbes list of the top-paid women in Hollywood is out and topping the list at the top of the heap. Scarlett Johansson, she made $40.5 million last year, and most of that moolah. From Johansson's role as Black Widow in The Avengers. And Angelina Jolie is second, raking in $28.5 million from Millicent 2. Jennifer Aniston is third, $19.5 million from endorsement deals. And big embarrassment for Fox. During a tribute to the late Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, they instead accidentally posted a still image of legendary singer Patti LaBelle. The caption on that photo read,
Yes, they did. Oh, my God.
It read Aretha Franklin, 1942 to 2018. But the photo was actually from LaBelle's 2014 performance, Bernie, of Over the Rainbow for then-President Obama.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Really? Not lying. I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Here's Darnold on fourth down, batted, and that ball is going to be intercepted. That is Troy Apke, who made a play on it.
Eli's got his disposal.
Got it. Oh, my! Great effort that time as Peak gets the touchdown catch from Teddy Bridgewater.
With a short field goal attempt. And with it, the Jets go up 13-12.
Of course, results don't matter in these games. The Jets have gone on to lose the football game last night, 15-13, preseason game number two in Washington to Alex Smith and the Redskins. But the big story was the rookie Sam Darnold, after a very impressive debut in Atlanta against the Falcons' second-string defense last Friday night, got the start. Was not nearly as impressive. So where are we now with Donald Bridgewater, who was very good for his second consecutive outing, and the veteran Josh McCown on the roster as the Jets get ready for their third preseason game, a big chippy one against the Giants next weekend, of course, opening Monday night, September the 10th, in Detroit against the Lions. Here's our great buddy, New York legend.
There he is.
Channel 9, WFAN, Channel 5, all of it, the great Russ Salzburg. Good morning, Russ.
Rusty.
Good morning, masters of the morning. Let me just begin by saying to you, Sydney, you're wrong and you're ugly.
You know, it's funny, he says that, and I told you this last week, Bernie, that I guess after the Giant game or something, he came home very, very late one night, and Russ's lovely wife surprised him. This is according to Russ.
That's true, I'm telling you.
She surprised him and bought Russ my book. He had never read it. I don't believe he was even aware of it. And I guess you read the book last week. Is that right, Russ?
Sid, I mean this with all sincerity. Anybody who doesn't know you should read the book because you take people on a trip. It's exactly you. I mean, if somebody wants to know about Sid, it's exactly you. I mean, it's funny, But it's sad. It's moving. I mean, that part where you talk about your father, God, thank God he's okay. You talk about your parents, Naomi and Harvey. Your dad, you almost lost. You talk about your drugs, your gambling. I mean, my God, I was drained by after I read it.
Were you crying, Russ Salzberg?
I have to tell you, the one thing I... And
say
just
no.
Just because Sid has gone through this, he knows what I'm talking about. And unfortunately, I know other people have gone through it. People who have gambling or drinking or drug problems, they have their demons. The most important thing from the book, Sidney, your love for your family is a stronger pull than your demons.
That
and
is
that's
right.
That's why you're where you are today. Family, and I mean that sincerely.
The family bond. Thank and you. Don't forget the part where I contributed to
you
the book.
You were great.
Come
you
on,
know,
Russ.
You know what's funny about that is I went back, you know, when Russ sends me a text, I'll go back every now and then. And the book is 8 years old, written by the great Paul Schwartz, who covers the Giants on a daily basis for the New York Post. I was in Boca, and I would talk to Paul about an hour or two over the phone every single week. And then he went and interviewed or called all of you guys, everybody from, you know, Jim Nance to Pat Riley, Lawrence Taylor, Imus. I believe your chapter is the longest. And what's great about your chapter, Bernie, is in the book you say, I love working with Sid. He's a little bit of a maniac. I love it. But, man, if we ever got the opportunity, I think we'd do a great show together.
How do you like that?
That was 8 years ago.
Let me tell you, when I read that, that's what said to me, well, now there's got to be a sequel to the book. But Bernie,
no
did
doubt.
You read the entire book?
Of course.
Well, let me tell you something. To me, the funniest part of the book, here is your partner there who walks around like the Incredible Hulk, you know, Muscle Beach and everything. Mm-hmm. And I read this part where his daddy is his football coach.
Yes.
And his daddy wants him to take a pitch out. And I quote the great, the rough, tough Sid Rosenberg, I'm telling mommy and I'm going home. I'm not doing it.
You know what? You know why?
He was a kid.
Russ, that's so great. I'm playing for the Redskins. My buddy Scott Arbus, Kings Bay football in Brooklyn. And that year, I happened to have a very good year. My buddy Jerry Rocco, quarterback, Michael Hart, running back. The three of us were all-stars. Make a long story short, when he handed me the ball as a running back and I ran straight ahead, I was fine. But when they used a pitch out, Bernie, I had to concentrate on catching the ball. And there was always this one kid, he played on the Steelers, big black kid. And as soon as I caught the pitch out from the quarterback, Jerry, he would always be right in my mush. And he would hit me so hard, I think once I made in my pants. So my dad's like, you're going to take that pitch out. I'm like, Dad, I'm telling mommy.
And here's the sad part.
I'm going home.
He was 17 years old.
I'm not doing it.
True story.
You're wrong and you're ugly, Sid Rosenberg.
Hey, that's great stuff, Russ. Thank
Fantastic.
You. That's great. Thank you for living that. That was fun. So let me ask you why. After last night's game against the Redskins, I maintain that after the first game, the Jets really made up their mind. Darnold starts that Monday night against the Lions, week one. Bridgewater gets traded. The veteran McCown is the backup. A, do you agree? And if you do agree, do you think anything changed after last night's game?
I don't think it changed so much. I would say this, though, Sid. Good for Donald, good for Sam, that he had last night instead of his opening night, because you know how things go. If he would have had last night's performance on his first night, everybody would have made a big deal. Oh, the kid's not so good. He's
good point.
Not ready.
Yep.
I thought last night, quite frankly, I thought last night he was okay. He had a nice drive there. They couldn't get into the end zone. I heard Bernie say before, and it was true, his interception was a tip. It wasn't like it was a bad, you know, overthrow. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback. The guy I'm really happy for is Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a fan. But here's a guy who was out. He had a terrible injury. At one point, I think they thought he was going to lose his leg. And now somebody's going to get a good quarterback, but because he looks like he can play. And I think the Jets have that kind of chip. I agree with you. I think he's going to go. I think McCown will end up being a backup unless there's some kind of really – Donald goes really backwards the last 2 weeks. And quite frankly, to me, I don't even think it's the last 2 weeks because you know this. Usually, everything's kind of decided. Big decisions are pretty much decided by the end of the third preseason. The fourth preseason is kind of, to me, the fringe players. I don't think you make a major decision in that fourth game. I don't think the guys who you're going to go with, in the regular season, game one, aren't going to be playing much in the final preseason game.
Russ Salzberg on the Bernie and Sid Show. Russ, let's move to the Giants. And, of course, a little bit of a whiff of panic, if you ask me, in this Odell Beckham Jr. drama. You see some of the columns in the New York Post today about him not being signed yet and maybe boycotting the first game. What is the issue in his contract? He gets $8.5 million a year now, and I believe, they're worried that it's something might happen off the field that might compromise him, like he might shoot himself in the groin or bitch slap a chauffeur or something like that. What is the issue?
Bernie, you're talking about a lot of money. I mean, listen, they're very happy with him. He came up to me Monday. Before they were leaving, I was there at the Giants complex. He came up to me, said hello. I said, hey, what's going on? How you feeling? I'm feeling good. I said, so are you ready to spend all your money? He goes, not there yet. He says, it's slowly but surely it'll happen. He's confident. The Giants are confident. You're talking about a guy who's going to be making close to $20 million a year. Those deals don't get done in 2 minutes. They're not worried about his off-field stuff. Anybody who says that, quite frankly, it's not true.
George Willis said
that. Forget what was in the past. He's been a very much a solid citizen. They're extremely happy with him. It's Happy Valley, if you will, over there.
There's no doubt. Listen, if he's healthy, he plays week one against Jacksonville. This contract has nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter. He's going to get the money. He's going to get huge money. He's going to be one of the top three paid wide receivers in football. That's a guarantee. It may happen by week one. It may not. But if he's healthy, he's out there against the Jaguars and hopefully having a big game. Hey, Russ, as always, excellent, excellent job, yes, buddy. We love you.
Absolutely love you, Rusty.
All right, just remember one thing.
Go ahead.
You're wrong and you're
up. Hey, by the way, one other note from last night, preseason football. You may not know this, but last night was a rematch of the Super Bowl. The Eagles played the Patriots last night. And by the way, the Patriots were amazing. Tom Brady threw for like 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. Whoa. He was amazing. And in this game, the Eagles, who already are dealing with their starting quarterback, Carson Wentz, still hurt. Nick Foles got hurt. Had to leave the game with a shoulder injury. So they're down to like Nick Sudfeld and the former Jet draft choice, Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah. Maybe to get Mark Sanchez back.
I don't know. But the Eagles won the Super Bowl. But again, Wentz already hurt, and Nick Foles got hurt last night. More on Bernie and Sid right after these words.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Bernie and Sid in the morning, making mischief happen every morning.
Bernie and Sid, why are you listening to them? I have no idea.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC and streaming on WABCRadio.com.
Hi, this is Jackie the Joke Man Martling, and you're listening to the Bernie and Sid Show, or as Sid calls it, the Sid and Bernie Show. Don't touch that dial. There's probably germs on it.
Wee-wee.
We're bilingual here.
Itchy, itchy, yeah, 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 yeah. That was Jackie Martling. He's going to be at a big comedy night of comedy, on September 26th. It's going to be a great night, folks. It's presented by WABC and Peerless Boilers. That's right, hosted by Sydney and myself, a night of comedy on Wednesday, September 26th at the Cutting Room, 44 East 32nd Street, for a hilarious night of entertainment. And headlining the whole deal is our boy Jim Brewer. My God, the hilarious Jim Brewer. And again, Jackie the Joke Man Martling, he'll be there. This comedian Jim Florentine was really, really funny. And Rob Magnotti, we've had them both on the show. And we got a couple of surprises up our sleeves regarding that. There'll be other entertainment as well. All hosted, again, by Sid and myself. Tickets on sale now. They're going fast, folks. We're going to sell this thing out in no time flat, so get in on it now. All you have to do is go to WABCRadio.com and get some of those damn tickets. Don't miss out. Brought to you by the Peerless Boilers, America's best-built boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com. And our man, Pete Morgan, who is a wonderful, wonderful dude. Thank you, Bernie.
It's going to be a party. Sis.
It's going to be a great time. And the food is good there at the Cutting Room. They got drinks. And Jill's bringing cocaine.
What are you doing, Jill?
What?
I'm going to ride that Sibian machine.
Oh, okay, great. It's going to be just one hell of a night.
Yeah. Be there early and leave late.
That's right.
All right. It's a Wednesday night. The next day is my beautiful wife's birthday, the 27th. And that Friday, we're going back to the Hard Rock Hotel in Atlantic City to see Christina Aguilera perform
for Danielle's birthday.
How do you like this?
It'll be a great week.
And meanwhile, you could have got off with just saying, let's go to the comedy night, and that's your birthday present. But no.
No.
Sid goes the extra mile.
Extra mile and a half. Hey, I want to send this.
Because it's not.
Oh, no. Be quiet. Hey, a big shout out to, Craig Schwab. Who, by the way, is a great program director. Have I said that yet?
He's really a good guy.
He's a good guy. He's a great program director. He wanted no part of us. But has been our number one champ
really
since
has.
The day we got here.
Yeah, you know, he had a bunch of options early on.
Right. And, but he has been our number one guy. And he does a great job meeting with he really does. He cares.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach. Anyway, he was at his kids' hockey practice last night. And it turns out the Princeton Youth Hockey Association president, Kevin Walsh, who was at practice last night, loves and never misses the Bernie and Sid show.
How do you like that?
What up, Kevin?
So we're saying hello to Kevin. In fact, Bernie, do that thing that you do.
Let's do a shout out to, right. What's his name? Kevin Walsh.
That's right.
Nice Irishman. Kevin Walsh, I see you.
You know what it is, Kevin. You can believe that. So last night I had to go back and forth
so
between
stupid.
The Jets. Thank God the Jet game started at 8, right? So Thursday night for me is a big night, Bernie, because I like to watch Shaws of Sunset on the Bravo channel.
Because you know what it is.
Yes.
You go from football to Bravo.
Yes.
That's right, because real... Oh, you can't say that.
You can say it.
Well, no, the guy had to change the title.
Yeah, what's his name? Jerry O'Connell?
Jerry O'Connell. Yeah. Real men watch Bravo. And they were like, excuse me, as opposed to... bitchy women and sissies. That's what they actually said. They tweeted.
You'll offend everyone with something.
And he had a, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'll change the name.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, real men. Yeah.
Well, real men do watch it, by the way.
No, I
evidenced by me and Michael Rapaport. Those are two great men, no?
No. I can't believe Michael watches it.
That's one. Rapaport is just he's just a loudmouth douchebag.
You know what's gotten to the point? He's even annoying me. And I loved him. I'm the guy that brought him here. But he's in that clubhouse with Andy Cohen like every night.
Oh.
Come
on. Speaking of that.
Why every night? How about Bernie and Sid?
Yes. What about, let's do that.
Right.
Why this big mouth?
Because he likes the show, so do we. I mean, I had to go back and forth between Shaws of Sunset so I can see Gigi and MJ get into a fight and yet still make sure that I saw the first couple of series for Sam Darnold. If that's not dedication, no. I don't know what is.
But look, this Rapaport guy, he covers the 3-on-3 basketball team.
Yeah.
And when he does that, he sounds like a combination of Vanilla Ice and Eminem.
Oh, he
does.
It's
like he sort of morphs, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because of...
He thinks he's a white black guy, basically.
Well, not so much on the Andy Cohen show, but when he's on the court there doing the interviews, then he really puts it out there.
He
lays it on thick.
Hates Trump. He's on Instagram all the time defending LeBron James.
What's the W word? You can't say it.
Yeah. Right.
It's like wicker.
Right.
But you can't say it. Right. But anyway, so let me just say.
He's actually a pretty good ball player, by the way, Rapaport. He's actually a decent basketball
player.
He's way
out of shape. He came in here once. But look, speaking of Andy Cohen. But did you want to finish up your point there?
Because I was going back and forth.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, here's this. Andy Cohen was actually on this plane. It was a plane that left JFK, and it was on its way to Nice, France. And halfway there, they figured out that the bathrooms were stuffed up, all of them. They couldn't work, none of them. And he actually had to turn around halfway there. Instead of continuing on to Nice, France, because they were halfway, you know, to the destination point, they turned around and came back to JFK, and Andy Cohen was on that plane.
Hold on a second. You're talking about, it's like a six-hour flight.
It's a Delta. It was a Delta flight, yes.
So they went, he was in the air for 3 hours, and they came back? They couldn't land someplace on the way to France?
Not in the ocean.
Oh, that's true. There's nothing there.
What are you, Jill? Good Lord.
Oh, listen, there ought to be something still closer. That'll be something closer than New York City,
yeah,
no?
Atlantis, the island of Atlantis.
Ay-yi-yi.
No, this is what he said, Andy Cohen. We had to turn around and fix the effing toilet. He said, how's this? Somebody pooped or put something down the toilet that it didn't go down and broke the toilets. Joe, what do you ladies put in the toilets that messes
tampons.
Everything up?
Yeah, well, some women put tampons in. Well,
what the hell?
Where else are you going to put tampons?
Garbage.
They fall out
when you pee.
Well, listen.
You don't put them in the toilet, especially on a plane.
Well, I will say this. We got a break, but I've got a daughter at home, And I wish she would put it in the toilet because there's nothing nastier than going to clean my kid's bathroom and seeing that at the top of the garbage pail.
But it stuffs up the toilet.
Well, that's fine. It's still better than picking out of the garbage pail.
Your daughter uses tampons? Because mine says she doesn't know how.
Now we're getting into TMI.
Okay. Because I'm trying to teach her how to do it. I pulled up a YouTube video.
I'm not going there.
Explain to her that what her boyfriend did to her last week, it kind of works the same.
No, she doesn't fool around. No.
Coming right back.
Hey, listen, I had some great audio coming back. Actually, after the top of the hour, after 8 o'clock, some fantastic. A man walked into a Harlem police station, and you're not going to believe what happened after that cell phone video rolling. You're going to be shocked on the Bernie and Sid Show.
This is Bernie and Sid in the morning, the new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
That 40-year thing keeps popping up. You know, it's always like 40 years ago, Son of Sam. 40 years ago, it's really 41. But Yankees and anyway, 41 Saturday Night Fever. 40 years ago, Greece. And earlier this week in Los Angeles, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John made the rounds together. Danny Zuko and Sandra Dee. 40 years after they made Greece. I'm happy she's doing okay because I know she was sick for a while.
Who's doing okay?
Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. She's doing fine.
She was sick. So anyway, 40 years ago, Greece.
And plus, the ex-boyfriend, remember, he was missing for a long time?
Yeah. Did they ever find that guy?
They did find him.
Oh, okay.
He's okay. So it's a happy ending.
I guess.
Instead of meaning.
Now, I know, Bernie, you've got some audio you want to play, but not such a happy ending for Aretha Franklin. That's the big story today. Passed away yesterday. No. The Queen of Soul, 18 Grammy Awards, Civil Rights Icon, Medal of Freedom, 76 years old. She passed away. And then
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, the first woman ever.
That's right.
And we delved into it deeply in the 6 o'clock hour. Well, we'll get back to
a wonderful tribute.
Yes.
But before you play the audio, I do want to say that, you know, when somebody passes away, somebody who people love, the reaction seems to be the same from everybody. Like, for example, a couple of weeks ago, Dan Ingram passed away. Very famous talk show host in New York, or DJ, I should say. And Bernie and I weren't all that...
From this station, by the way.
Whatever, not
Dan
I was here.
Dan Ingram.
We weren't all that shook up over it, you know, I mean...
No, because, listen, what did he, you know, with all due respect...
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Dan Ingram. Here comes the Monkees. Here comes the Beatles. Just two words before. Here are the Archies. John, Paul, and Ringo with She Was Only 17 on WABC. And that was fine. He did it. Yeah. Did it well, whatever.
Yeah, right.
But he wasn't splitting the atom.
Right. So we said that, and then, ironically, Howard Stern said the same thing. Now, Howard was taken to task by my good friend Alan Snippin and the New York City Message Board and all those radio junkies. All he did was regurgitate what you and I had said days earlier. But then there was people like Imus who had like tributes on his Twitter page to Dan Ingram. Point is, we didn't follow the, like sheep, the rest of the lead and break into tears. And it was kind of the same thing this morning with Aretha Franklin. We're aware of what she did and... Yes, the first woman and all of her awards and all that type of thing.
And she was a lot more significant figure than Dan Ingram.
Well, of course. But I'm just saying, in their respective fields. When Dan Ingram died, a lot of talk radio people were very, very upset. We weren't. Aretha Franklin dies, and quite frankly, we had a very... it wasn't really a beautiful eulogy this morning, Bern.
I thought it was nice. It was nice, and we kept it in perspective.
The quote from Bernie was, she only had 4 songs.
No, wait a second.
What?
You're talking out of context. I said between Diana Ross and Aretha Franklin, I said, Diana Ross, I think I enjoyed her music a little more.
I did.
And she was more prolific.
I agree. You
and
said then, you only had four songs.
So then I tried to think of the songs that Aretha Franklin came up with, and I thought of four.
So what are you arguing? I just said, you said she had four songs.
But it was out of context. It was she only had four songs.
It was just like that. And then
that's
Jill,
a lie. That's
I walk
a lie.
In this morning, I talked to Jill. Jill's like, well, to be honest, she was no Whitney Houston.
A freaking
I love
lie.
Whitney. I still miss her.
So the point is, this morning from our cast, there was zero emotion.
You're missing. No.
Emotion.
I talked about the Hall of Fame. I talked about her dad, how he suffered after a home invasion. And instead of putting him in a nursing home, she actually kept him home because she loved her dad.
Mm-hmm. Was that before or after you complained the New York Post spent 8 pages?
I never did that.
Oh, you that, didn't say to me
nope.
8 pages?
I never said that.
Swear on a Bible.
Do you have a tape of anything like that?
It was at the break.
I never said it. I pointed out that the New York Post had the first 8 pages were devoted to Aretha Franklin.
You didn't point it out. You were pissed about it.
I wasn't pissed. I don't get pissed. I'm not pissed at anything.
Said Donald Trump just got us $176 billion in some new economic plan, and they're writing about some...
That's a lie.
And then somebody else on this show said they're patronizing her because she was African-American.
Excuse me. You put it on. You're the one who's like... Barbara Streisand is the number one singer. I said the Rock and Roll, the Rolling Stone magazine said she was the best singer ever, and somebody took a vote. And yeah, that's a lie. That's ridiculous. It's Barbara Streisand or something like that.
Yeah, Sid comes in this morning.
Don't blame it on me.
No, but here's the difference. I own it, bitch. I did say that.
Okay, good.
But you guys were just as emotionless,
but here you are,
and now you're coming on like you were crying all day.
No. You're coming on like, oh, Bernie was trash and Aretha Franklin
well,
this
you
morning.
Did a couple
that's
of times.
That's a lie. You took it out of context.
What's out of context about how do you waste 8 pages on this?
I didn't say that.
Meanie, what did he say?
I didn't. Don't bring me
in. Meanie's in a control room.
He
didn't hear anything like that.
You know what? I'm going to be like Omarosa. I'm going to start taping stuff in here. I swear to God.
Sure.
The Situation Room. She's got John Kelly. I'm going to start taping you so when you claim you didn't say it, I'm going to have the actual audio.
Listen, what I did say, I pointed out to you that the New York Post, after we did our little tribute, the New York Post had the first 8 pages devoted to Aretha Franklin.
Right, wait. Now, what was
that's
the tribute exactly? What was our tribute?
Our tribute was that she was the queen of soul.
Right.
And she inspired a lot of people. She inspired black and white performers. People like, Diana Ross herself.
Sure.
And Mariah Carey. Christina Aguilera.
That's right.
And what's her name? But the one who was on
Cardi B,
American Idol,
Adele. Oh, Jennifer Hudson.
What about Cardi B?
No.
Why not?
Azalea Banks? No.
Well, but is it not true that in this beautiful tribute that you spearheaded this morning, that the music that we played on this show was everybody else but Aretha Franklin?
And whose behest did that occur?
Well, you tell me.
It was you and that witch in there, Jill.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, listen to her.
Look, this is what they did this morning, folks. And see, they tried to turn it around on me. That's a lot of bullshizzle right there. I don't even like Barbara Streisand.
You like her or not, she's the greatest of all time.
Greatest singer of all time.
Put Diana Ross, play Diana Ross would be a lot
we
more
We did. We played her already. Why, because she's black?
No, because she was better.
No, she wasn't.
No way.
This
no
is the
way.
Greatest female singer ever. 99%
no,
would
you
say
just
that.
Just have to stay.
Phil Collins did a better job at that song.
Oh, yes, much.
No way.
You're an idiot. Come on, I'm listening to this. Tom Hanks sang this in Big. Remember this?
I'm looking for a razor blade.
Well. Yeah, me too.
So the tribute continues here on the Bernie and Sid show. We hope you enjoyed it.
When she dies,
forget
about it. We're going to be a mess.
Yeah. I'm not coming in.
No.
I'm going to be sitting shiver.
Yeah.
Good. This way I won't have to listen to her music all
then
morning.
Then you can play Aretha Franklin when she dies.
Then I'll play Diana Ross.
Right, Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Yeah. What were the four songs that... the only four, as Bernie said a couple of times.
Listen to you. We're going to go at it. It was Respect, of course,
great
Natural
song.
Woman,
great.
Think, and Rocksteady.
Those are all great songs.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Rocksteady.
I'm not saying she wasn't great.
Do you know that on Born to Run alone, you had Jungle Land, Rosalita, Thunder Road, and Born to Run? That's one album by Bruce.
Okay, great.
So we're celebrating like 50 years. You got four songs.
But he's not dead. He didn't die just yesterday.
No, I'm just saying.
She did, so we're celebrating her.
What are you going to do when he dies then?
I'm going to go buy a sandwich and a beer. I'm going to ask somebody to go dig a hole.
Let me make it more for you. Because
I don't care.
Oh, what about when your other Jersey boyfriend dies, God forbid, Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi? Well, then I'll be a little a little somber.
Who had more hit songs, Bon Jovi or Aretha Franklin?
Johnny did.
Okay, but he won't
Here
get...
Here we go. This is good. Good stuff.
Who sings this?
Aretha. She wrote this.
Oh, this is a good song.
But it is what it is, what it is.
Who sings that song? Rocksteady.
That's
rock
her.
No,
that's
we begin to rock.
Wait, let's steady. Go one song at a time, all right? Here we go. Rocksteady, baby. Ooh, that's it. Look at Sid move. Wow, that's good.
I'm not moving.
You couldn't move.
Jill asked the question this morning.
You don't have it in you.
Oh, I got it in me, baby.
Oh, you don't have it in you.
Oh, I got it in
Only
you.
Only when Milo was here, you had it in you.
Very funny. Yeah.
Jill asked a very pertinent question this morning. It's going to seem disrespectful, but it's fair. No, it's fair.
Good job, man. Come on.
Jill's question was, if Aretha Franklin was white, would she be getting this widespread love and eulogy basically going on? Every single station at one point this morning was talking about Aretha if she was white. Is there a little patronizing?
That's a dumb question.
Oh, well, way to go, Jill.
That's a really stupid question.
Well, I didn't.
She was a soul singer.
Right.
And soul emanates from the black community. She wouldn't be white.
No, will they give this much attention to, let's say, Barbra Streisand?
I don't think it's a stupid question.
They will give this much attention to Barbra Streisand.
You don't think there's a little bit of patronizing going on because of the civil rights, because of the...
There might be. Who knows? In this day and age, that happens all the time.
There might... Where is my Omarosa tape recorder? Jesus.
But it is what it is.
Unbelievable.
What it is.
Oh, yeah. Rosalita was not on. It was on the other album. Thank you, Kenny. You're right. The E Street Band. It was on some other. Who cares? But you know the point. The point is he's got 97,000 great songs, and she's got, according to Bernie, four. What? I didn't know. I thought she had like 20 great songs. I thought she sang Endless Love and
Endless Love.
Let's get up and do this. She wasn't Martha Ray and the Vandellas.
Oh, they were great. Remember them?
Yes, I do.
Remember them, Jill?
No.
Their song was in Goodfellas.
Here we go. Come on. Jill, get up and bust the move. There she go.
Will Smith has more hits than Aretha Franklin. Will Smith.
Ike Turner had more hits.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al, I love him.
And I wasn't talking about music either.
Oh.
Rock City, baby.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, Brooklyn-born rapper Casanova in a little bit of hot water, charged with robbery. What happened was he was at the Good Stuff Diner on West 14th. He and his entourage got into this dispute with this 23-year-old woman, and the woman told cops the rapper and his group thought she was taping Casanova. So she claims the rapper forcibly took her cell phone to delete the video, and then a male member of the rapper's entourage put the woman in a headlock until she lost consciousness and fell to the floor. There's a video of that incident, and police say they're looking for the second member of that entourage. And former Journey frontman Steve Perry disappeared about two decades ago. He's now reentering the music scene. He's written on his website this morning that he has a new album coming out. It is called Traces, and that'll be out on October 5th. And I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
To Bernie's point about Martha Ray and the Vandellas having more hits than Aretha, this is one of their monster hits. Of course, our generation remembers Mick Jagger and David Bowie making out during this video.
What happened? What did you just say?
They made out, literally.
Martha Ray and the
Yeah, they did this song.
Oh, no. I know that. David Bowie and
Mick Jagger.
That was embarrassing. That was one of the worst videos
ever made. That was this song.
You know? I know that.
Yeah. But you made the point that, you're really going to feel stupid now.
I made the point off the air that Martha Ray and the Vandellas seemingly had more hits than...
No, not seemingly.
Aretha Franklin.
They did. But you're going to feel really stupid now, Bernie. Yes.
Really? You are.
Yeah. Because when I mentioned this next singer, some singer said this morning on Twitter We have lost the greatest singer of our time. That is ridiculous. As a songwriter, I personally know, how meaningful a gifted interpreter of material can be. No one can replace her. You and I love this guy. In fact, we gave away tickets to this guy's upcoming show on August 23rd at Madison Square
Garden.
Billy
Joel.
Yes, Billy Joel said this morning, she's the greatest singer of all time. Of our time.
I mentioned that Rolling Stone magazine had a vote, and she was voted the greatest singer of all time.
Nobody on this show thinks that.
Frank Sinatra would think about that. But
very good Frank Sinatra. Yeah.
But that's what the vote said.
Who they asked to
Listen,
vote?
Listen, Martha Raye had some damn good stuff. Diana Ross, again, some excellent stuff.
Right.
Martha Raye, she had Heat Wave, Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Great. Oh, that was her, not Marvin Gaye?
No, he covered it.
Okay.
Yeah, Jimmy Mac.
By the way, Marvin Gaye had more hit songs than...
Yeah, but he wasn't... we're talking about black...
Ladies.
Ladies, gospel-influenced, that type of thing.
That's what we're talking about.
Who could go from pop to jazz to gospel, that kind of thing.
Even Dionne Warwick had more hits.
I was just going to say Dionne Warwick.
She did gospel. By the way, she's Whitney Houston's aunt,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, she is.
Whenever I'm with you.
Did a very good remake of That's What Friends Are For, originally done by Rod Stewart in the movie Night Shift.
Wow, Sid, look at you.
Thank you very much.
So when we're paying tribute, we want to include, you know, everybody.
Well, no, we want to make it seem like she's not worthy of any of this.
That's a lie.
What are you talking about? You keep mentioning other people. You're like, she's good, but Martha Raye and the Vandellas, who, by the way, Jill never even heard of, and now she's like, you're right.
Yeah, but she's heard of this song.
Play, of course.
You got Jimmy Mac?
Oh, come on.
Jimmy!
Come on!
Oh, Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back?
John McEnroe sealed
this. Don't worry about it, baby.
He changed it to Johnny Mac.
Jimmy,
I think he did, right?
Oh, Jimmy Mac.
Here's John in White Plains. He's a fan of Aretha Franklin, line one. Good morning, John.
Bernie, isn't it Martha and the Vandellas, not Martha Raye and the Vandellas?
Yeah, you're right about that. Martha Raye was an actress. Oh, my God, I got to quit the drugs. You're so right, John.
Yeah, listen to her version of Dancing in the Street.
That's right. Man, am I a moron. Martha Raye and the Vandellas.
So maybe that'll explain why, John, they were trying to look up all the music and like, you can't find Martha Raye.
Martha Reeves.
And none of these idiots knew, John.
We're
it wasn't just me. Martha Raye.
These are stupid people.
We're so dumb.
And I'm Googling Martha Raye.
Yeah, no hits are coming up. Nothing. John, what's your point about God rest her soul, the great Aretha Franklin?
Hands down, she's the greatest voice, the greatest singer. Comparing Diana Ross to her is like trying to make the case of Daryl Strawberry over Babe Ruth. Everyone you're naming is great. She's the best voice. You left off a lot of hits, and it's not just about hits. She could do anything. I'm telling you, she deserves the proper.
Diana Ross is right up there with her.
Diana Ross is better.
More prolific.
Much more.
But as far as the quality of voice.
Thank you, John.
At least her equal.
Well, listen, I think both Whitney Houston and Billie Holiday, their voice is every bit as good as Aretha Franklin. You know, we have a thing in this country, and maybe not just this country, maybe it's everywhere. I don't know. But when somebody is old and they're kind of at the forefront or a pioneer, they got to be the greatest ever. And sometimes they are. And sometimes it's just we can't help ourselves. We tend to exaggerate, especially when somebody dies.
Well, we're paying tribute is what we're doing.
We are?
Yeah, so that's why the focus is on the person who just passed away.
Ah, the tribute, yeah.
Yeah, so for people like you to try to shortchange this person before they're even cold.
Sweetheart, you're the one who told me.
It's just absolutely offensive.
Listen to me, sexy. Four hits came from you. I thought you had like 10. You're like, let me correct you. She had 4.
Yeah, that was after I paid a wonderful tribute to her. I just said that she didn't quite have, you know, top 5 hits.
Right.
And, she had 4. This is another one. Martha Raye. Martha and the Vandellas. You thought this was, what's his name, right?
Marvin Gaye.
Right, no. This is Martha and the Vandellas. The two
see, like
the skies, you know I love you more.
Was yesterday the 41-year anniversary of Elvis? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh
on this
God.
Show, now I'm going to be 52. Jill's in her, what are you, in your 40s?
42, yeah.
Bernie's about my age, and Matt's in his 20s. Nobody here thinks Elvis Presley is the greatest singer, the greatest. But yet,
no.
But Imus will kill you. Other, not just Imus, millions of people would be like, "What are you?" But he's the king. She's the queen. He's the king. And
how dare you? How dare you diverge from that?
Right.
That orthodox opinion there, right there. That's rigid. That's cemented in fact. That there's no debate.
Right.
But you're wrong. There is debate.
There is debate.
That's right.
I mean, do you think Elvis Presley? And we had a million hits and the acting and the gyrating and blah, blah, blah.
I think he was awful.
Much to me.
I think a lot of his songs are boring. I gotta be honest. I loved Hound Dog. I loved it. I loved a few others.
I hated all of them.
I liked just the fact that he... I didn't like it, but it was funny that he died on the toilet bowl.
That is funny.
But all drugged up because,
right.
because like the opioids today,
right.
it would stop you from actually making a number two.
Right.
So he sat on the ball and he's trying to
but
squeeze.
That's not why he died.
It is why he
died. Was a drug addled, drunken
yes,
maniac.
And he was on the ball trying to squeeze one out and he had a heart attack.
You had to make
that's
a duty. Happened.
And that's what could happen to you if you keep taking those opioids, people.
Oh, I don't take those. Right. Here's Chris in New Jersey on line four. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Give me a second on this one.
Oh, bless my soul, I'm on the toilet bowl.
I was lucky enough to see Aretha Franklin sing one song about 3 years ago when Tony Bennett was at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And Tony brought out a number of stars, including Elton John. I think, the great tenor that I can't remember his name, but he's still singing. And
Andrea Bocelli?
Yeah.
Yes.
They were there for Tony Bennett's, 85th birthday.
Yeah.
President Clinton introduced everyone.
Yeah,
and
I know. Exactly, yes.
And they came out after, and Aretha Franklin came out last, and all these great singers said, they're glad they didn't have to follow her. Bonnie Raitt was there.
That's fine.
Now, the hits you're talking about, how many hits, great voices, Harry Connick Jr. have, Angelina Bocelli? The difference between Aretha Franklin and everyone in her peer group, she can sing in every genre of music. They can't.
Yes. You can? Thank I never heard Chris, of once that, do a song by Metallica. Thanks, Chris.
That's what I'm saying, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
What every genre? What do you mean? Because she does soul, she does pop, and she does probably... I don't know, maybe, I don't know. What's every genre? You ever hear Aretha Franklin go, do Born to Run?
Jazz, disco, R&B, classical.
That's not every single genre.
Gospel. So, no, she couldn't sing.
Bono does it all.
No, you ever hear a cover of You Think My Tracks Are Sexy?
It's not funny, man.
No, listen, Norman in Orange on line one, he's got us nailed. He's no dummy, this guy.
But listen to Aretha. This is fantastic.
Norman, again, make your point while Aretha's on line one. Go ahead.
You made me feel
shut up, Norman. Norman, go ahead, buddy.
No, shut up.
Norman.
Woman.
Thanks for the call, Norm. We'll come right back after these words.
Bernie and 800-848-WABC. Talk with Bernie and Sid in the morning right now. 800-848-9222. Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Now this guy is straight up legend.
Music is a word within itself, with a language we all understand.
And you talk about prolific?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Is he the best African American, most successful, prolific? I whatever word you want to use.
I mean, black or white. He's got more hits, more happy, fun sing-along hits.
And
he gets into, the rhythm and blues thing.
Yeah, great. Sir Duke, what a classic. I remember this summer, too. The summer this song came out. Yeah.
You can feel it all over.
But he's got so much more.
You know what's all over the TV today? Smokey Robinson.
My Sharia Moore.
That's a great song. Smokey Robinson is become like the voice this morning on every network for... For what's
Aretha
it called?
Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
He's the go-to guy.
He would. They knew each other, actually.
I guess.
You know, that guy Norman, who we were kind of joking around, was on the phone, and we didn't have a chance to hear him call because he was singing over him. He wanted to call and tell us how little we knew about music, and, of course, it was on the heels of us not giving, I guess, in his opinion, Elvis Presley and Aretha Franklin their deserved respect. That guy was as old as dirt, right, Jill?
Yeah, pretty much.
Of course. Of course. Of
course. I'm sorry we missed his call.
Yeah. You guys know anything about music? Elvis.
Suck it, Norm.
Jill hates Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah, I don't know that song.
Yes, you do.
Oh, how about the Stevie Wonder song where he comes to New York? In the city, I think it's called?
Oh.
You're the only one my heart beats for. Oh, yeah, yeah. He shows up and the cops are like, get up against the wall. Get up against the wall.
What? I like the song Superstitious.
This is it. This New gives York? Me goosebumps.
Let me hear it.
Living in the city.
Okay.
No, it's Ballin.
Oh, yeah, it's a great
in
song.
In hard time, Mississippi.
Yeah, it is. Surrounded by four other kids. Superstitious is better, though. His
parents give play Superstitious for me, will you?
Well, we'll give it a second here.
Oh, let him get to the chorus.
It's no patience.
It's upset.
Moving in the right direction. Living just enough. Just enough. Come on, man. For the city.
And he builds up.
Some days for 14 hours.
Pretty good.
And you can bet he barely makes a dollar.
You know, Donald Trump said that he worked for him, too.
Scrub the floors for me.
And you best believe
she'll hardly make a penny. He didn't sing the song. I was driving all night. My hands are wet on the wheel.
No.
He couldn't. But this is not the song that I was thinking about. The one where he comes to the city off the bus, I believe. Oh, yeah, it is at the end. That's right. He comes to Port Authority.
Okay.
They throw him up against the wall. New York City, just like I pictured it.
He never saw a dollar of anything.
And he gets arrested. But some people say he can see.
I've heard that.
Yeah. They've actually have, like, tapes of him.
Yeah.
Somebody says something and he looks that way. Or no. Not even that.
I met him when he was up here. He couldn't see.
By the way, if you said to me... tomorrow, if there was a way of bringing back people from the dead, and I had the opportunity tomorrow go see, I know he's not, Aretha Franklin or Ray Charles, I'm taking Ray Charles in a heartbeat. I'm not even thinking twice about that.
Why on this day that we're paying tribute to Aretha Franklin?
What?
Is that necessary?
Well, it's part of the tribute.
That's not a tribute. That's
what?
Comparing which dead person you'd rather see.
That's negative.
No, it's not negative.
His actions are contemptible.
Yeah. I'm saying that she... I'd like to see her, God rest her soul, if she came back. So right there, that's part of a tribute. But I'd rather see Ray Charles, is what I'm saying. Well, the whole tribute this morning, quite frankly, has not exactly been a tearjerker for Aretha.
Ours? No.
No.
Everyone else's? Yes.
No, it was very nice early on.
And it was not.
You made it ugly at the 8 o'clock hour by casting, by making false accusations, quite frankly.
At the very top of the show, it wasn't very nice.
No, it was fine then.
We have found a way to discredit more than give her credit.
How about Isn't She Lovely? Stevie Wonder. Come on.
That's a great song.
About your little daughter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Except the baby crying part. Oh, shut up. I hate newborn cries.
Oh, come on now. Now, you do realize that you're being very disrespectful here.
I don't think so.
Hey, well, of course you are.
No, we played all Aretha's songs.
Yeah, it took a good
I can't help that she only had
played
four or five.
All in the first segment. That was it.
Isn't she lovely? Now, this guy here.
Steven?
He's for real.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, talk about Stevie. Here's Steve. Make that low on a carphone line 4. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
How are you?
Always good on Friday in the summertime, Steve.
We're a little sad, obviously.
Yep. Yeah, a little somber.
Bad loss.
Yeah, a couple of things. Yeah. One thing that made Aretha special is that she never got political, ever.
Right.
You know, she just sang her music and you know, cherished God. And, you know,
she had some things to say in the battle for civil rights. She absolutely did get political. Absolutely did.
Well, that
it was a battle for civil rights. It wasn't being, you know, bashing people or talking. She was just talking about the oppression of the of the minorities.
All right.
But one other point.
Yeah.
Did you see Stevie Wonder's new piano?
No, neither did he.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Thank you. That's very nice.
You know, her father, Aretha's father, as I mentioned, he was Martin Luther King's biggest fundraiser. Her father was a pastor.
Yeah.
Who tragically was shot in a home invasion in Detroit, in her home city of Detroit, and he spent the last 6 years of his life in a coma.
You've now brought this story up twice. This is your tribute. That's
part of it.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Right.
She kept him home instead of putting him in a facility.
That's awesome.
Because she wanted to care for her.
That's
She thought he'd be more comfortable.
No, that's nice.
And be more attentive than some nurse on nurses on three shifts.
Let me just remind you that Anthony Bates, he kept his mother home too. I think Stevie Wonder is going to be at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City this summer. None of he's not, so what? I said it. There's a million reasons to go to the Hard Rock anyway. There's 300 great shows. I really do think Blake Shelton is there tomorrow. That is a monster, monster show. So let's, can we talk about the Hard Rock right now, Meanie? Or?
Yeah, let me do this thing.
All right, do this thing.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
All right, thank you.
Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. We were there just 2 weeks ago. Danielle, Sid, Ava, and Guy for the big fight. We'll be back next month around Danielle's birthday for the Christina Aguilera show. Very excited about that. Jim Allen, as he's done forever with all of the Hard Rocks, specifically down in Hollywood, that's where we became friendly. He's already put together, with the help of Bernie Dillon, over 300 amazing shows. They've already had all kinds of great acts there on the beach. Carrie Underwood, Pitbull, Counting Crows, countless others. Toby Keith. They got an amazing lineup of shows coming your way on the beach in New Jersey this summer. Listen, folks, it is an amazing, amazing place. You want to gamble? They've got tons and tons, hundreds of slot machines and table games. It is the nicest casino, and I've been to a bunch of the hotels in Atlantic City. None measure up to the Hard Rock. So when you combine the fact they've got over 300 big-time acts already booked, you've got the nicest casino anywhere in Atlantic City, anywhere in this area. I'll include Connecticut, upstate New York for sure. They beat them all. You got the beach. You got nightly entertainment. They got 20 new restaurants. We love Council Oak Fish, Robert's Steakhouse. They got the beach bar, which is right outside on the beach, serving drinks with an amusement park all day long. It's really very, very lovely. The nightclub, the spa. They've got a Scores, by the way, in Hard Rock, which I did see last time.
Saw it. You went there?
Yes. I didn't go there, but it was the daytime, but I saw it. Remember you had the story about Jamie Foxx?
Yes, of course.
Yes, I did see it.
Right. Jamie Foxx went there that same weekend we were there.
It was on the second floor on the other side of the food court.
And he made it rain, baby.
He did make it rain. Everybody does. It's a wonderful place, folks. You got to check it out. Learn more about all the upcoming events and even buy tickets for some of these amazing shows. HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com. That's HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com. Folks, defy the odds and head to the Hard Rock today.
Download the Born and bred. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
Making mischief their business. 77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid show. What is the point of this, Joe?
Another great female singer.
Putting Cindy Lauper on the class of Aretha Franklin.
I love her.
Doesn't make any sense, though.
You don't think she's great?
That's not in Aretha Franklin's class.
Oh, I grew up with her. I love her.
Oh, God, stop. But it's just, but you understand that it's a different.
She's a pop star. She has like five songs. Aretha Franklin's
Whitney's a
legend.
A pop star.
I know, but it's not. No, Whitney was a gospel singer.
That's right. That's really the connection.
Yes. She sang in with Dionne Warwick, her aunt, in the gospel.
Interesting.
Cindy Lauper, I mean, I love the song. I love True Colors. I love girls want to have fun, but my God.
I love it.
There's no connection.
What's next, the Bay City Rollers?
What's that?
Amy Winehouse?
Oh, I liked her.
She's good.
It goes slow.
She was a good guest on this show, Cyndi Lauper. When we're the midday slot.
She was fine, yeah. She was nice. Very nice.
I thought she liked us, but it turns out she really didn't.
Really?
She didn't invite us to any of her shows or never came back. Did she badmouth us to Lisa Lampanelli?
Wow.
Are you sure?
I think me and Bernie are going on the Howard Stern show to talk about Imus.
I'm coming with you.
Well, Gary didn't invite you yet.
That's all right.
I'm waiting to hear back from Delabate. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We've been... Well, we're going to be offered the opportunity, so... It's up to Bernie. I've already done my...
What are you talking about? Nobody's inviting us.
Oh, yeah, they are going to invite us. Well, I'm not kidding. I'm being serious.
You have to do it.
It's not happening.
Oh, you want to bet? I've already been on.
Well,
talking about Imus. They're going to invite us. Stern said last week when he was savaging Imus, I'd really love to have the guys who were on his show on this show.
So we're going to go on Howard's show and savage Imus?
We're not going to do anything unless you don't... No, I'm not going to talk bad about Imus. You will.
This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
The great Tina Turner. Bernard with a Ike Turner reference earlier. That was hilarious, by the way. Welcome back. Final hour of the week. I know that upsets a lot of people. Bernie and Sid will be back on Monday. But this is it. We have put together what I think, amongst other stories, we covered sports with Russ Salzburg, the Jets, their second preseason game last night against the Redskins. Giants back in action tonight, preseason game number two against the Lions. Yankees suffer another disappointing loss to Tampa Bay. The Mets score more runs in their first game against the Phillies, and the Jets scored points against the Redskins last night. So we covered all of that, but we pretty much dedicated this show.
What's love got to do with it? Got to do with
to everybody else but Aretha Franklin. In our attempt to dedicate to Aretha Franklin.
We played Natural Woman, which was terrific.
Right.
Respect.
Respect we play. I mean, she only had four hits.
He said you didn't say that.
Well, look.
You made him.
I did say that. But, I mean, she had broad talent.
Now, listen.
She could cross. She was crossover with her genres.
Not only that, but if you really want to defend her.
But just four hits.
But Prince had a ton of hits that he never sang, that he wrote.
Yes.
I believe Aretha wrote songs for other artists.
She did. She wrote. Well, she wrote.
Color Me Bad.
Rock Steady. What happened?
She sang that.
No, she wrote it first, and somebody else did it. Oh. Then she sang it after they made it.
She wrote a song for Ashford and Simpson or something.
Yeah, she was a very talented lady and a nice talented woman, beautiful man.
Yeah, we miss her.
But we'll sock it to me, baby. Sock it to me.
We'll get back to her in a second. I know you wanted to play something.
Yeah, well, yeah, look, this thing is, and I hate to, I'd rather have fun. You know me.
Yeah.
But this stuff was really shocking. It happened this week. The way the cops are being abused and what's happened to our police force here, right here in New York City and around the country.
What's up in Harlem you're talking about?
Well, there was two incidents, actually.
Yeah.
The first one was Sunday up in the Bronx, Westchester Avenue, 158th Street.
During the Dominican Day Parade.
Well, it had nothing to do with the Dominican Day Parade, but yes.
Okay, let's go with that.
It was during the parade.
Right.
The parade was probably on TV while it was all going down. So somebody calls the cops. And a woman calls the cops, and she says, I got a problem in my apartment, kids in my apartment. Would you come and help me? The cops go to the building, again, on Westchester Avenue, 158th Street. Four of them. They go upstairs. They're walking up the stairs, and they run into the lady. And she's like, yeah, all right. She said, I have two twin sons, 16 years old. I don't want them alone in my apartment because they bring their friends and they smoke pot.
Oh.
She said, but I allow them in this time so they can take a shower. So forget about the call. Not leave or something like that.
Okay.
They went up to just check on the apartment. And the kids came out. There was nothing, apparently nothing untoward was going on. But whatever it was, the kids just started to curse at them and scream and yell sexual obscenities. There were two black cops, one white cop, and one female cop. And the cops just did this sort of like walk of shame down the stairs while the kids yelled and screamed. It was so humiliating. They were denigrated, and they did nothing because they were being videotaped on a cell phone. They were afraid, probably, to do anything.
And the kids were taunting them to make sure they did, probably.
You can't believe. Right. And so listen to this tape from Sunday.
You pussy. Nah, we on them. You pussy. You know what's up.
Why
you get back? What? You know what's up.
By the way, this goes back to every time. There's enough of that. Every time somebody says to me or yells at me on Twitter, which is often, at Sid Rosenberg, that you're about as un-American as anybody I know because this country is based on peaceful protests. So when Colin Kaepernick, I hate to get back to this again, but I guess we will, Giants and Lions tonight. When Colin Kaepernick does what he does, and he does it because he claims something that's going on is not going on in the numbers that he claims it does. That's what you get. That is the byproduct, you morons, of the quote-unquote peaceful protest. By the way, that's not as bad as shooting five officers dead in Dallas. But that is the byproduct, ladies and gentlemen, ignorant kids, morons, who know no about, of your peaceful protest.
Brilliant, Sid. It is A, the Ferguson effect, and B, what shall now be hereby be known as the Kaepernick effect.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what it is.
It is not. It's anything but a peaceful protest. What it suggests is and promotes is hate, especially towards our courageous men and women in blue.
Who went there to help a lady out that called for help. And this is how they were rewarded for doing that. They went there. And so now the president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, he actually wrote a letter to the city. And he complained about this new thing. The Post had a headline which was called "A Growing Trend of Police Inaction Lets Potential Perps Get Off Easy." And he wrote this letter. Before I'm going to play you the next clip, which happened after this letter, he said, "We're being led by the wrong people whose policies are enacted for political expediency and police officers regarded as collateral damage in their quest to enact progressive agendas. Cops are being sold out, used as scapegoats by and props by elected officials, etc. Amateur commissioners, inept police chiefs taking a shot at the guy."
Jimmy O'Neill.
That's right.
Right.
So that's before, and he cited a couple of other examples where violent perps were just let go, whatever. So then just 2 days ago, up in Harlem, in the 28th precinct, a guy walks into the precinct with cell phone camera rolling, and the first person he encounters is a female police officer, and then there's a Latino guy, Sergeant Lopez, is standing a bit behind her, and this is what happened when he walked in, and when I tell you what happened afterwards, your jaw's going to drop.
Yeah.
Yep, Sergeant Lopez, he could suck the big fat f***ing dick. Right. He's supposed to be here to serve and protect, right?
In the precinct.
You're not serving and protecting s***. Shut the f*** up, bitch. I'm going to put it in your f***ing ass.
You can't record here.
I can record. I can do what the f*** I want. Where it says? Where it says I can't record it?
You can't record that briefing.
Why not? Tell me why.
The law says you can't.
Why? What law? What law is that?
You got handcuffs?
What's the law? What's the law?
You can't record
that
briefing.
Why not?
You can't,
I'm here.
Record.
I can't record over there. I can record wherever
beat
the
him
I
half
want
to death.
Record at.
So this went on for...
I know.
At least 3 minutes.
Another couple of minutes.
And a woman was sitting, a female cop is sitting right there. So this cop's in this precinct. The guy was allowed to walk out of the precinct, and he wasn't arrested.
You can't arrest him.
In both cases, they were guilty, clearly guilty of disorderly conduct, at the very least.
I hear you, but they're not going to mess with that. Right, you're right, they're not going to mess with that.
Can you, a guy walks into the police station, he's done, you, I'm going to put it in your blank, and this and that, and a female cop is sitting there. Look, it's lunacy out there right now. And that, again, as you pointed out very sagely, A, the Ferguson effect, and B, the Kaepernick effect. These things, these actions have real consequences.
Yeah, I mean,
and these cops are not only afraid to protect themselves, but they're not going to bother to get out and protect the people on the street.
No,
because they
not.
Don't want to. They don't want to engage them.
I don't blame them.
It's not worth it.
I don't blame them.
The inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah,
and it's really scary.
Boy, I know. Now that's again. I've maintained all along that what Kaepernick and these idiots did, have done, and continue to do, although less and less and quieter, is anything but a peaceful protest.
No. The departments don't have the cops on the backs, the police departments, the chiefs, the inept chiefs, the cowardly commissioners.
The mayor?
And nor does the media.
The mayor?
The mayor?
I mean, I saw Bill de Blasio sit with Errol Lewis on Monday night. They were talking about something else, the red lights and how they've got video proof now that folks speed in the school zones, 130-something thousand examples, now that they took the cameras away. And at one point he said, well, you know, it's also a police thing, and I've got some philosophical differences. I love the police, he says, but I've got some philosophical differences.
Right.
Why would you even say that?
Exactly.
Why would you even say that? Just say I love the police.
That's all.
Dick face?
Unequivocally. Unconditionally.
Yeah.
Now, these kids actually posted that video, that the first one, they posted that online. They're so proud of it. All their friends are going to see it. And the disrespect will just spread. And these cops, they're afraid. And they're not going to act. It's a scary time.
Yeah.
Again, when nobody has their backs.
Well, you know, there's a movie.
And listen, if let's say they did go after those kids, you know what the media would show
of
that video?
Of course.
They would show the part where the cops just started.
The retaliation.
That's it.
Right.
But not all the
instigation.
5 minutes.
Right.
I effed your mother and all of that stuff. They wouldn't put any of that. The media wouldn't. And then you'd have Anderson Cooper saying, look at this, what happened. This tragedy. This is awful. Well, let's join the march in Union Square, marching up to Times Square. Let's get out there right now, folks. Him and Aaron Burnett would be out there exhorting people to join to protest the cops' brutality.
You know, there's a movie series. They make them like almost every year now. And it's titled The Purge. And in this movie, they pick a night or two. I don't know the exact facts. But they pick a night or two during the year where you're allowed to go out.
Oh, I know this.
And commit crimes. Yeah. Heinous crimes. Rape. Murder.
I've heard of this, yes.
It's crazy. Now there's a TV series
yes.
called The Purge. Every week they have new episodes where there is no law and order. Where they go, listen, we got a lot of people out there who want to do bad stuff. Here are your two nights. Go do whatever you want to do. Rape, pillage, kill. Sounds crazy, right?
Yep.
Sounds like a movie script, like something crazy,
sounds
right?
Like a wild fantasy.
It's coming to a neighborhood
That's
near
true.
You.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report. Well, the apartment, which adjoins the Trumps at Trump Tower right here in Manhattan along Fifth, is for sale. The price tag, though, $24.5 million. That apartment said to adjoin the president and Melania's bedroom. Things could get interesting. It's a condo building, so the condo board could require some things like FBI checks. The Trumps live on floors 66 to 68, and the condo for sale is apartments 64 and 65 A and B. Scarlett Johansson, Angelina Jolie, or even Jennifer Aniston might be able to afford that apartment. They top Forbes' list of the highest-paid women in Hollywood. Johansson made $40.5 million over the past 12 months. Jolie's raked in $28 million, and in third place on the Forbes list, Jennifer Aniston. She made $19.5 million over the past year. And I'm Deborah Valentine with your entertainment report.
Yo, look back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like...
I tell you, man, I'm eating today like I'm menstruating. I was in Leslie's office minutes ago eating her jelly beans. Rob Fulmer left a big jug of M&M's. I've gone through about 100 of those today. I had a egg white sandwich this morning. The lovely Kaylin Viola.
That's my girl.
At Dunkin' Donuts. I since had a bagel with cream cheese. It's Bagel Friday here.
What are you, Crash? Take it easy.
What's going on?
You're getting a period.
I'm menstruating.
Yeah.
Can't stop eating. And I'm still hungry.
But you do kind of act like you have your period 30 days a month.
Stop.
So it's hard to tell. But the food maybe is a giveaway.
Maybe that's why I'm stalked constantly on the Upper West Side by
Yeah, that's a good story. You got to tell it one day.
I told you the story.
I know. There's no joke.
So listen, we got more tributes to Aretha Franklin. Nobody does it like us. We're going to say goodbye to our intern. Today's his last day. He's going back to Cincinnati. But we've got huge news on this radio station, and I mean this sincerely. I had the fortunate opportunity a couple of weeks ago to star in one of Rob Bartlett's podcasts on a Monday night on Stage 17. And you remember, Bernie, I was really blown away by the tremendous show that this guy puts on. He's got five or six young folks around him that are incredibly talented.
You and Anthony Cumia were very impressed.
Anthony did it, too. Yeah. That's right. He told us the same thing. Rob, so good. His cast, so good. The writing, great. The comedy, the music. That now... And this, by the way, is a testament to how good the show was there, the podcast. They're going to be a weekly show on the radio station.
Oh, my
really?
God.
You are funny. 10 o'clock on Saturday nights here on
Double. Are you full or you want to eat a couple of melons? We're actually getting flashed outside our window here.
Oh, my God. 10 o'clock on Saturday nights here on WABC. The Rob Comedy Show hits the airwaves, and I believe it debuts... Wow. Well, I'm not sure when it debuts, so.
Tomorrow night.
Wow!
Tomorrow night on WABC Radio, the Rob Comedy, the Rob Show Comedy Hour.
The Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour.
That is incredible, Rob. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, man. And by the way, Sid, you've never lived until you've had an M&M egg white omelet.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to do that next time. I know, I like that.
That sounds disgusting.
You know, I do throw M&M's in my popcorn. Rob, I like that. I'm going to try it.
Even I would. That. What are you, nuts?
Even you?
Even I.
What wouldn't you eat? Oh, you wouldn't eat that, you said.
You
okay.
Right, yes.
I think it would be good. I think you're wrong. So listen, who makes that decision? Because I was raving about your podcast the next day. To everybody who wanted to listen, who made that decision to put this on the station?
Well, I don't know. So somebody in the upper echelon of the hallowed halls of Humulus.
Somebody in
the
exactly
suit. I don't
know
who, but...
Okay.
I'm sure Leslie Slender had something to do with it. She's always been a fan.
Yep.
She's always been in our corner. I don't know, Chad, Glenn Tessinelli, they probably all got together and said, look, why is this guy wasting away on the podcast when we could have him on our own little Saturday Night Live on Saturday night?
Agreed.
Right here on the radio.
Agreed. It's worthy. I mean, I'm not just saying that, Bernie's, you know, because we love you. Because I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't that good, I was going to say it. It's really good, man. Really good.
What time tomorrow night, Rob?
It's 10 o'clock. It's from 10 to 11, so it's not too late.
And then
you can go and then go out afterwards.
And also, you can get it afterward at WABCradio.com.
That's right. Actually, I think you can even listen live.
Oh, come
on. If you're not in the tri-state area or however
that's right.
The signal travels, you can listen on WABC.com while we're doing it, and then the next day, you can listen to it at your leisure.
Well, being this is such a huge night, it's your first show. It's a quite an honor and deserved honor. Again, I keep saying that, but it's true. The show is great. I have to believe, Rob, that show one on the radio that Imus is going to be on, yes?
No.
No.
Well, no. I'll tell you why. Because it's the dog days of summer. We want to wait until people are on.
That's right. That's right.
You want them to be on when it's...
Oh. You want to warm up.
Maximize the potential.
But to be serious though, the Comedy Hour is a throwback to when the radio shows that came out of studios and it was like a variety show back in the 30s and 40s. Except it's a modern day version of that. Correct, Rob?
That's very well said, Bernard. Very well said.
Thank you.
That's exactly what it is. We took like the old time idea of Jack Benny and all those guys standing in front of microphones with their cap, putting on a show every week And we're doing the same thing, except we're doing some updated material. We got a former head writer of SNL on our writing staff, and we got a great group of kids who are really, really talented. And we have guest hosts. We're going to have Steve Schripper's going to come in next Saturday night.
That's a big one.
It's just a lot of fun.
You know what's funny, too, is you talk about the old type radio, and we talked about the characters, as I did, by the way. It's a very good-looking group. The ladies are attractive. The guys, like, so it happens to be a handsome and a pretty group you put together.
Well, only in reference, surrounding me, they look much better.
No, yeah. You look great. Come on. No, you've done a fantastic job. We're excited for you, so
I'm very excited. I mean, it's very, very cool. It's It's something I've been thinking about for a long, 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 long time. I mean, I used to do a version of this when I was back in college.
Yeah.
And never thought that one day I'd actually be doing it on broadcast radio. So,
well, did they give you some type of contract? Do you know how long, or could they, is it 6 months, a year, or is it Saturday by Saturday?
Why don't you ask them off the air? We could have that conversation. I mean, Jesus over here, huh?
Well, I don't want them to do a great show.
How much they paying?
They pull it.
How much they paying you, Rob?
I have a brand new Cumulus contract they just instituted for this show. We have a 75-year ironclad contract.
Yeah. Hey, and not only is Rob hilarious, of course, all those years on the Imus show, he's a great Broadway actor and a stand-up comic. He's a good guy.
Great guy.
Rob Bartlett is a wonderful, nice man.
Good soul. 100%
exactly
true.
Right. So, Rob, we wish you all the best. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, WABC Radio, the Rob Bartlett Comedy Show Hour. And
Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour.
Why don't you make it one word, make it easier, okay? Don't start yelling at Bernie.
Because that's what it sounds like.
I know, but...
The Smothers Brothers TV Comedy Hour, that's the same thing. It's
not really.
Either way, we wish you all the luck, Rob. We really
do. We love you to death. You're great.
Thank
the show is great. All right.
Thank you, boys. I appreciate you.
Now, return Tony Powell's call. He's upset about Aretha Franklin. Come on. Thank you. That's Rob Bartlett. Now, listen, not only is it a big night tomorrow because Rob is going to be on the air, but today we say goodbye to our esteemed intern, Bernie.
Which one? No, I'm just kidding. Jonathan.
Oh, that's just mean.
That was mean.
Well, you know, a couple summers ago we had two. We had Haley and Gillen Gross.
Yes. Yep.
And they were both great. This summer we only gave it to you. One other kid was interested. I felt bad. A very nice Hasidic kid who was here 2 years ago as well. But you got it. And like O.J. Simpson, you ran from the football and the police.
I did. I appreciate it.
No, you did. You're a good kid. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And we spoke to you once on the air earlier. But how would you assess your time, your summer internship here on the Bernie and Sid Show?
Well, like Sid said when you were out earlier in the week, you know, I print things, I wash your car on Tuesdays, all that kind of stuff.
Did you learn anything?
Good experience.
Yes.
Because I know you're actually going to school for communications.
Yeah.
You're going to be in this field. You're very, very good. What did you learn from Bernie and myself?
Well, I learned some of how to run the board. Meanie taught me that.
Wow.
That's right.
Meanie's great, by the way. He's great.
Jill taught me a bunch of stuff.
Like what?
How to swing on a pole?
Shut up. I taught him how to do audio.
Yeah, audio.
No, that's
cutting
very,
stuff up.
Listen, that's important stuff in this business. You want
sure.
You want to know how to do the nuts and bolts. Make yourself useful to somebody. And that's really essential.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff. If you can do the basics like that, you get your foot in the door. You don't have to be taught. You already know. So that's actually valuable stuff, my friend.
For sure. I think so. It's been a lot of fun.
But why are you such an ingrate, though? Why do you have the attitude?
All right, calm down.
Leave him alone.
I'm just kidding. Hey, look at him. He thought I was serious.
You got nervous.
I'm totally kidding.
Well, actually, what I said to the kid was when he comes back, Burn, for Thanksgiving or Christmas, these long college breaks, that I said he can come in and continue to watch us do what we do and learn some more.
For sure.
Because we like you. You're Steve Zemach's cousin, which is already a huge plus. My old producer and dear friend from down in Florida, who Bernie loves too. And you have kept the family name loved and respected here in New York. You did a very good job. So.
Thank you.
And you went down yesterday, a couple of days ago, with Jill on the street.
Yeah.
Right, I was the bodyguard.
You were the bodyguard, and you saw how it's done.
The bodyguard.
Yes. Well,
now, are you the mascot again this year for the
I am. I am.
The Musketeer, the Xavier.
Yeah, for the Xavier Musketeers and the Blue Blob.
Awesome.
Of course.
That's
their secondary mascot. We're going to have some fun.
And you're going to be a junior.
Yeah, going to be a junior.
Okay. When do you grow out of that suit?
Never.
Never?
Never. Not till I graduate.
All right.
Then I never have to be.
So you'll be back
again.
At school Saturday?
Leaving Saturday morning, yeah, 9 o'clock.
Hey, listen, this is the best time of your life. You might not realize that right now, Jonathan, this is the best time of your life. Enjoy the hell out of it,
yeah.
And we appreciate it. We like you very much, as Sid said. We like you a lot.
We do.
So, Godspeed.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Not at all.
Get a lot of vagina in college. That's all we need.
We appreciate it.
See ya.
All right, listen, your parole officer's waiting outside, so...
Live and local stories, live and local guests, live and local hosts. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
I'm sure you know those brothers, two white brothers.
All right, Bernie and Sid.
On the air, on the app, 77 WABC.
Thank you.
hell was that?
I'll tell you. That was from one of the great Brat Pack movies ever. One that included Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, Emilio Estevez, Jugs Nelson, a ton of them. That was Andrew McCarthy in the movie singing the Aretha Franklin song, St. Elmo's Fire. The great St. Elmo's Fire. Andrew McCarthy sang that song in the movie. So that's taken from there. And then the Blues Brothers, they did it. But she was in the Blues Brothers, wasn't she?
Yes.
She was actually in it with Belushi and Aykroyd, right?
We have a little scene from that.
Give me that, because she was actually in that movie.
Sweet. I love you, but I'm the man and you're the woman. And I'll make the decision concerning my life.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me.
See the way that materialized? I was kind of like John Lennon and Tom Hanks on the Dick Cavett show in Forrest Gump. They were talking and
right, with the lyrics.
Yeah,
so. Good.
Well, Brent, I got to tell you, what you did today for Aretha Franklin, the nicest tribute I've ever heard for anybody at any place at any time.
So well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, it's well deserved.
Yeah.
She was a nice woman. On top of everything else, on top of all the talent and all the pioneering, she was a really, really nice woman.
She was. Everybody loved her.
Did I tell you about her father?
No. Twice.
Twice? Well,
Joe Franklin Streitz Matzah.
You know what? Somebody tweeted Jill. They tweeted, from a friend that wants you to succeed, you guys are being complete D-bags this morning.
No, that's not true.
And Jill writes back, we're douchebags every morning.
Yeah, but the guy's an idiot, whoever wrote that. First of all, we've gotten rave reviews from everybody from management to friends who thought it was a brilliant show today, actually.
And we were trying to pay tribute. What are we going to do? Some maudlin?
Start to cry?
Yeah.
Over somebody who had four hits? Four.
We played,
as Bernie pointed out a couple of times.
We played every single song every hit she ever had.
In one segment. Shows you what the...
We did. No, we did, though. No, look, she had a lot of other diverse performances that weren't particularly high on the pop chart list.
Right.
But the ones she had were fantastic.
Huge.
She didn't have as many as Diana Ross.
Not even close.
We made the comparison earlier.
Right.
What, is that so offensive?
Yes. On the day she dies, you shouldn't say that.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you. Don't you dare, you son of a...
No. You're the one who brought...
How dare you?
Did I bring up Diana Ross? I brought up Barbara Streisand.
And Whitney.
Because
you make me feel... You make me feel...
You know who would have been really upset with us earlier this morning? Mike Breen.
He might have tuned out.
He would have been very upset. Yeah. But he's not listening today. He hasn't texted me. But Jeff Van Gundy did. He said, great show.
I got one from Mark Jackson. He said he's going to kick your ass.
He would. He'd be the one.
Yeah. Mark Jackson, Mike. Mark. Yeah, I think what they did, Mark, or Mike.
The Mike Breen bang goes into everything we do. There it is again.
Hey, you know, that's another thing. See, that's why she was so great. Tony from Newark knows why.
Why?
Tony knows why. Tell us, Tony.
It's the 1998 Grammy. Pavarotti got sick. And without rehearsal or warm-up, she stepped in. And she sang the opera.
What song?
Nessun, Nessun. Dorma.
Oh, yes, she was brilliant, by the way.
That's
brilliant.
Exactly my point.
Tony, great job. Thank you, Tony.
The versatility. Now, that wasn't a number one
hit. No.
But that's what she could do.
Well, let me say this for the Jews out there. Chai, the lucky number 18. She won 18 Grammys. 18 Grammys.
She was the first female, speaking of 1987, inducted into the radio, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Amazing. Right.
So come on.
How did all that happen, though? She only had four songs, huh?
Because it was more than that. You just don't get it. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, Jill pointed out earlier that we're patronizing her because she was African-American. That if she was white...
No.
Jill made that point.
I love how he fills my mouth with
what?
This.
What?
What? Wait. Sorry.
Did you not say that?
I said, would there be this much attention on CNN?
When you ask a question like that, that's your opinion, but you don't want to state it because you're a coward, so right. You ask the question.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And Bernie, of course, had no answer other than her father worked with Martin Luther King.
She was the queen of soul. Yeah. She passed away yesterday, and they pay tribute to her today. What's the big deal? What's the problem?
There is no problem.
Well, why? Well, it sounds to me like you have a problem.
No, sweetie.
You and Joe. Sweetie.
No, you made the whole show today about Diana Ross.
You made the whole show.
I made one observation that, you know, if you had to compare, they were contemporaries. They're both from Detroit. Diana Ross, by the way, was with Motown for some reason. Aretha Franklin wasn't. I don't know what Berry Gordy, what problem he had.
Because Diana Ross was better, to your point.
To your point, Barry.
Yes, the point you've been making all morning long during this Aretha Franklin tribute. She ain't no Diana Ross. In fact, they should put that on a tombstone.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
Sid in the morning, the new show, Mischief and More, 77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Now these old listeners can't die fast enough. My good buddy Alan Snippin, the New York City message board, which by the way means nothing. It's like, you know, a bunch of people who know nothing about radio and they state as if they know everything. Alan does. Alan actually knows.
Don't even bring him up.
No, I have to read this, though. It's so great. He goes, I guess such a not have expected any better from these two morons. Especially, we're the top link, by the way. Especially from Sid, who respects nothing unless he's talking about Jewish people.
Wow.
The problem is, he talks so fast, his words come before thought. And Alan, before you say, well, you know what you're going to get when you listen to these two idiots, you would think they could do a proper tribute to Aretha Franklin without his twisted, sick, in love with his own voice bent. At least Imus would have done it the right way. I miss his wit. It's no wonder the numbers are down. See, my issue is, moron, our numbers are up. We have better numbers in the demo than Imus had the last couple of years.
Stupid.
See, so while you guys went on this long rant on this page about us getting a 0.9, that ain't Bernie and Sid.
Oh, no, we did great.
Our numbers have improved since we took over for Imus, and revenue were doing great. So next time you want to put something on a message board, you can hate me all you want. I don't care.
Get the facts.
But at least know what the F you're talking about.
Come on.
Moron.
Suck it.
Hey.
People love the tribute today. You didn't like it, Philip?
By the way.
Shut up yourself.
It's an entertainment. What are we supposed to sit here and cry and do some more?
Suck it.
We had a very nice tribute.
I thought it was beautiful.
Go F your mother.
Well, help him. She's just quoting Goodfellas, folks. Take it easy.
But you see the Jewish thing right away, though?
Well, I guess maybe that's the Streisand.
Maybe.
The Streisand.
What about Billie Holiday? She was Jewish?
No.
I gave her a lot of props today.
You love Mary J. Blige? You love Whitney?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Whitney?
Yeah. See, so you see the anti-Semitism and the racism.
They cling to something like that.
That's right.
He's a Jew hater.
Right.
No, that's right.
And he's at the top. They,